Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
From Flynn Memorial Stadium in Quincy, the Galesburg Silver Streaks will begin this game from the 38-yard line after a 26-yard run back from Ben Holloway. And the Silver Streaks get this game underway at 3-4 on the season, 2-2 in the Western Big Six, tied with the Quincy Blue Devils as the Silver Streaks' Jake Ferguson steps off sides, lining up at a wideout position. And not the best way for the Silver Streaks to start. They had the ball to begin the game last week against Rock Island, move the ball downfield, then gave up the ball on downs on Rock Island's first two offensive plays. The Silver Streaks picked up two penalties that allowed Rock Island to cross the 50-yard line before they'd even run an offensive play. Galesburg gets a jumping into the neutral zone penalty to start 15 from the 33-yard line. As the Silver Streaks go trips left to the top of the field, three wideouts there out of the pistol snap. Handoff to Ben Holloway, coming off a game where he rushed for just over 180 yards against the Rocks last week. Tries to go right up the middle, which was a successful play last week, but not on first down here against the Quincy Blue Devils, who stuff Holloway back at the 35-yard line.
Well, you know, Quincy's a team that nearly beat Rock Island up there earlier this season. Was that 19-14, I think, and right. It was a hard-fought game, and they led a good part of that. So it shows you what this team is capable of when they come to play, and I'm guessing here on their home field, their final two games at home this year where they say they play a little bit better. They'll be tough to beat.
Isaacson right up the middle, but he lost his footing. He has to dive forward, sliding across the 40-yard line. As there was a big hole opened up by that offensive line, but the knee actually was back down at the 39, excuse me, so it goes as a gain of four. And very quickly, just starting off the game, the Silver Streaks face a third and nine. 43 degrees at kickoff. Galesburg sophomores fell tonight by a final of 41-0. Still looking for their first win of the season. Isaacson in the pistol, Holloway in motion, takes the handoff, trying to sprint to the outside, gets a block, frees him up at the 40, gunning his way to the 45-yard line, then run out of bounds there. So Holloway picks up six on third down, but comes up 3 yards short of the first down. And a minute and a half into the game, Silver Streaks will have to line up in punt formation.
Well, so everything harkens back to that first play from scrimmage, a 5-yard penalty on jumping, and that ended up costing us as we're 3 yards shy of the first down. We'll have to kick it away on our... think we are. You're quite sure. Isaacson back there.
But the Silver Streaks have not really ever faked any of that. They've gone ahead and punted the ball, and that's what they do here. Getting it downfield to the Blue Devils at the 25-yard line, breaking free off a couple of tackles, returning it to the 40-yard line.
Ryan Darby finally with the tackle. There are a couple arm tackles by the Silver Streaks that time. Wasn't going to get the job done, so Darby levels him just at about the 40, and Quincy will have their first possession on a night, as you mentioned, Brad, is cold, a little bit rainy earlier, and you would think there'd be a big crowd for Quincy here. They're 5-2, but I think you take the combination of the weather conditions, and this is pretty much Cardinal country down here for baseball. They got that big game tonight, so I think maybe some of the Quincy faithful staying home for this one.
Try to keep you updated on that Cardinal game as the night goes along. Running play to the left side, Streaks stack it up, but the running back's still on his feet. Finally, the officials blow the play dead at about the 43-yard line as it goes off tackle left. And a good little hard run by Bryce Unmissig, who's one of a number of running backs that Quincy will run out of the backfield. Malik Robbins gets most of the headlines at 5'11", 190, a senior, but Jordan Osborne has had big numbers. These are kids' names we've been calling out for a number of years, and Unmissig, just a junior, we remember him from last year as well. George Cricard, the fourth, the starting quarterback at 5'11", 180, as a junior. Handoff goes to the right side across right tackle, stacked up at about the 45-yard line for a gain of two more. It'll bring up third and five for the Blue Devils.
Well, we mentioned it earlier tonight, but who can forget that it was out at Van Dyke Field last year. Quincy, instead of going for 1 point and pushing into another overtime, they go for the two and for the win. And I figured they were probably going to go ahead and throw the ball, and they go ahead and really just ran it off tackle, or did they try and come wide? But we were right there for the stop, and it was a season maker for the Streaks.
Flipping it out to the outside, a running play to Osborne, trying to string it out to the outside, and the Silver Streaks stack him up, really prevent him from getting any kind of forward momentum as he danced along the 45 to the 46-yard line where the Silver Streaks bring him down. So the Streaks return the favor defensively. Three plays and out go the Galesburg offense, and Quincy does the same thing on its first possession, and the Blue Devils will line up in punt formation on a third and five at their own 45.
Great to get a stop in first possession, not letting Quincy get all the momentum early. The Silver Streaks team trying to get its confidence back a little bit defensively.
A high kick into the air. Holloway runs in front of it, and it actually takes a Galesburg bounce as it doesn't go backwards. Kind of straddles the 21-yard line, hops forward to the 22, kind of stays there, and the Quincy Blue Devils down it. 8:03 to go here in this first quarter. So we played not even 4 minutes yet. Both teams have had a possession, and neither team has picked up a first down. Galesburg back on offense.
It had a little odd feel to it just because of how quickly that sophomore game, it was done a little ahead of 6:30 because it was continuous clock. And so everybody's just kind of hanging out for a while. The band hadn't come out to perform or anything and just waited until the regular starting time was 7:30. They didn't show any inclinations of wanting to move that start time up tonight.
Handoff goes to the left side. Holloway trying to duck down low, getting underneath the runner, getting underneath the line. Picks up a yard to the 23-yard line. Lots of running plays tonight. That'll move the clock quickly, but nobody able to get much on the ground here in a tightly played first quarter so far.
Well, Quincy already playoff eligible with those five wins. They certainly want to get at least to number six, which would guarantee them a playoff berth.
Streaks split out two wideouts to the near side. Flushed out of the pocket. Holloway, or rather Isaacson, after faking the pass, now throws it away up the Quincy sideline. And Isaacson held on to the ball too many times last week. He got sacked five times this week. Flushed out of the pocket. He gets rid of it quickly for the incompletion and brings up third down.
Yeah, you know, Quincy, you couldn't blame him for looking ahead to next week a little bit, although I don't think Coach Rick Little had any designs on letting that happen.
But it sounded like it.
Richwood's coming in here next week. That'll be a real test for him.
Around the conference tonight, Rock Island at Moline trying to clinch the outright Western Big Six title. They've already clinched a share, and by virtue of their victory over Alleman, they are the conference representative in the postseason. Big hole up the middle for Holloway. Got the first down up to the 35-yard line, and the Streaks move the chains for the first time tonight. Nice hole by that offensive line. Right up the middle goes Holloway, and the Streaks have it at the 36 after a gain of 13.
You know, we mentioned next week Richwood's down here. Richwood's has got the hardest finish in the conference. They've got Alleman tonight up there and then come down here to play Quincy next week. So they've got two playoff-caliber teams on the road at the end of the regular season.
Just underway, 5 minutes gone here in the first quarter, and a loss on first down as the handoff goes to Holloway, and Quincy was behind the Galesburg line of scrimmage. Goes for a loss of two on first, rather a loss of one.
It's like Chance Gray in there on the tackle for Quincy. He's a 5'8", 165-pound junior. Quincy's got good balance, some size up front, a lot of very athletic guys at the skill positions.
Alone in the backfield, Holloway goes in a running play. Isaacson skips a man in the backfield, but that slows down his momentum, and he's tackled right at the line of scrimmage. It'll bring up third and a long 10 now. No gain on second down. And let's see if the Silver Streaks try to go to the air. They did four plays ago. Isaacson had to throw it away. What will they do on third down here? Good to see Josh Eicher back into the game. He played last week against Rock Island after missing the middle three games of the season. Played a very productive first three games of the year. In fact, through the first three games, he got better each week. Streaks stack up three wide receivers to the bottom side of the field. Isaacson alone in the backfield. The rush is on. He pump fakes, flushed out of the pocket, scrambling back up the middle, and then hit back at the line of scrimmage. And he's taken down right there at the 36-yard line. So three plays on the ground. Galesburg ends up gaining no yardage, and they'll have to punt it away.
Well, here at Flint Stadium, one of the few that we go to that has the scoreboard directly across from us. In fact, it's the only one, come to think of it, that it's friendly to the press box, it's friendly to the home team, but very unfriendly to the visitors who have to turn around constantly to see how much time is left in the game.
Isaacson standing back at his 29-yard line. High snap, but he was able to reel it in, bouncing at the Quincy 41-yard line, takes a Galesburg roll down to the 32. Silver Streaks down it there with 5:12 to go in this first quarter. Talk about playing it close to the vest. See what Quincy can do on its second offensive possession of the night.
Yeah, certainly not a great punt. He didn't get a whole lot in that, but maybe given the conditions being a cold night and a little bit of breeze he's kicking into there, maybe you don't get a whole lot more out of that if you hang it up any higher. And Quincy didn't have a chance to return either. So, yeah, we're 5:12 to go first quarter, and so far the Streaks holding their own. Let's see if they can make another stand on defense. Maybe force one of those five turnovers we're hoping for tonight, which I asked Coach Rick Little if he would be as benevolent as Moline was with us early in the season. He said, I certainly hope not.
Bouncing to the outside, a little bit of running room for Bryce Unmissig, and Quincy gets its first down of the night as Unmissig takes it up to the 45-yard line for a gain of 13, matching Holloway's biggest run of the night.
Christian Powers over there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. Drags him down from behind. Not a horse collar, but got a good deal of jersey. And makes the tackle after the first down.
The tight end, Seth Holtzschlag, who can catch the ball effectively at 6'1", 195, a junior. Donovan Ruth, the other starting tight end, 6'3", 210, also a junior. Both tight ends packed in tight. Three running backs lined up behind Cricard. Handoff goes to the right side to Robbins. And Malik Robbins, one of the stars out of the offensive backfield for Quincy and throughout the Western Big Six, tries to bounce to the outside, and he's stuck right at the line of scrimmage for no gain on first down at the 45.
Yeah, line doing a nice job there. Good penetration and making the tackle. That was, we're far enough away. I don't know if it was Hawkins or who got through there for the tackle that time, but the Streaks all patting the helmet down there and excited about playing some defense after getting shredded last week by Rock Island.
Well, Robbins is the kind of kid you can hold him down, hold him down, hold him down, and then he can break one off, and all of a sudden his numbers look a whole lot better. Two wideouts to the far side this time. Handoff goes to Unmissig, trying to bounce off to the near side. Gets a lead block at the 50. Crosses into Galesburg territory. Run out of bounds at the 44-yard line for a pickup of 9. And actually he did get across the first down marker, and the Blue Devils move the chains with 4:08 to go in the scoreless first quarter.
Range and Holloway over there to drive him out of bounds into the Quincy bench, but not after another good gain by the Blue Devils, who appear to be putting together a drive here down to the Galesburg 44.
Actually, it's Unmissig who's putting together the drive, a run of 13 and now a run of 11. He's averaging 9 carries in his first, 9 yards in the first 3 carries of the night. Three in the backfield. Toss goes to the backside to Jordan Osborne, trying to bounce to the right side and run down from behind. I believe it's Hawkins as the ball pops free. A scramble for it. The Streaks indicate that they have it. Still waiting for the official signal from the referees as they unpile at the Galesburg 41-yard line. Galesburg sideline still hopping up and down, pointing the opposite direction. And they do have it. Finally, the referee makes the signal after unpiling. Must have been a scramble for it. And Galesburg, there you go, Jim. There's one.
That's right. Number one of five, hopefully, tonight. But we'll take the one. It stalls out the Quincy drive after a couple of first downs. And the Streaks take over. And, well, we're not going to win the game if we can't move it any better than they have the first two times. Let's see if we can't get things rolling here a little bit on offense.
From their own 42-yard line, Galesburg takes over. Third offensive possession of the night with 3:51 to go in quarter number one. Ben Holloway lines up in the slot left, now goes in motion with range slot right. Handoff to Holloway, scrambles away from some pressure in the backfield and bursts forward to the 45-yard line to make up a gain of 3 out of what was nearly a loss of 2.
Yeah, a lot of players would lose yardage on that. He was able to just skirt by a couple of blue-clad defenders who were ready to bury him for a loss, and then good acceleration right up the middle at least turned a loss into a small gain.
Bring up second and 7. Keep you updated on the Cardinal game throughout the night. Also, game going on around the area. Here's another successful run for the Silver Streaks right up the middle of the field. And it looks like J.J. Range has enough for the first down as he crosses Quincy territory close to the 48-yard line.
You know, I was talking with Athletic Director Ralph Henning, and he said that, you know, as he goes down to the sidelines too, he notices how much harder Range is running now. He's more of a varsity type of runner. Early in the season, he may not have been as aggressive, but now he's running very aggressively with the ball. It makes you much more effective.
Holloway slowed down at the line of scrimmage, sneaks through a hole across right tackle, stopped just short of the Quincy 40-yard line as he picks up six more on first down, second and four upcoming. And Nick Myler is another Silver Streak who's done the same thing. In fact, Coach Mike Washabaugh and head coach Tim Doherty last week both extremely complimentary of Nick Myler, who we saw had a huge game rushing for over 100 yards against Peoria Emanuel 2 weeks ago. And they both said, hey, there's both kids, Myler and Range both. They knew they had it in them. They were just waiting for the kids to realize that they could do it as another hard run by Range takes Galesburg inside the Quincy 35 to the 34-yard line as Range had to avoid a tackle in the backfield, sidestep, then cut back toward the middle, dragged a couple of Quincy defenders with him, and picks up seven.
Well, you know, when we were down here 2 years ago, we were up on Quincy 12-0 at halftime. It was Coach Tim Doherty's first venture down here against the Blue Devils, and everything was great at the half, and then Quincy turned the momentum around. But right now, Galesburg seems to have the edge of it here early in this ball game as well.
High formation for Isaacson, ducking under center. Matt Hawkins, handoff goes to the right side. Silver Streaks get it up to the 30-yard line, gain of four on first down. Kind of a quick whistle there, unless Holloway went down quicker than I thought. I thought he was still on his feet, but the officials blew it dead. A gain of four brings up second and six. Silver Streaks have moved it down to the Quincy 30-yard line. Out of the no huddle. Isaacson sneaks up as if to go under center again. Out of the I formation. Hand off to the left side. Holloway with a hole. Got up the middle into linebacker territory. Dragged down to the 20-yard line for another first down for the Silver Streaks after a gain of 10.
Nice run by Holloway. And again, tip of the cap to all the guys up front, making that a nice hole for Holloway to explode through up the middle.
Again, coming off a week last week when he ran for just over 180 yards against Rock Island. He's got 38 on the ground tonight in his first eight carries of the evening. Same formation. Out of the eye. Hand off to Range. Trying a little juke left, juke right. Picks up three more on first down to the Quincy 17-yard line as the Streaks now enter the Quincy red zone, looking to put some points on the board with under a minute and a half to go in a scoreless first quarter.
Range ran into one of the bigger players on that Quincy line, Jacob Colvin, the senior tackle, 6'2", 250, but Range moved him back a yard or two before Colvin finally wrestled him down.
Again, out of the eye. Handoff, Holloway skips left, stopped at the 15-yard line for a short gain of a yard. Third and five for the Silver Streaks in two-down territory as we tick under a minute to go here in a quick first quarter. Outside of one Silver Streak incompletion that I can think of, the clock has pretty much run nonstop here in the first quarter.
Well, and I think both teams believe they're going to win this ball game on the ground, especially on a cold and damp night. Not likely to put it in the air any more than you have to.
And Coach Tim Doherty talked about trying to put some drives together, keep the ball away from Quincy. Here's Isaacson with a sprint up the middle. Stopped short of the 10 at about the 12-yard line. Needs to get across the 10 to about the 9.5 for a first down. It'll bring up fourth and a long two here for the Silver Streaks.
Linebacker Seth Halschlag stayed home that time. Good tackle on Isaacson, who quickly accelerated after the fake handoff, but Holschlag saw it coming, able to knock Peyton off his feet after a couple of yards, and we may have to take a timeout to talk this one over.
Clock's running, and the Silver Streaks are going to let the first quarter clock run out, so they'll take advantage of the quarter break for a timeout. Nothing after one quarter here in Quincy between the Silver Streaks and the Blue Devils. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football and WGIL and WGIL.com.
What is that noise? It's driving me crazy.
Honey, it's our power meter.
Please make it stop.
Put a stop to the clicking by calling Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today. With the installation of higher efficiency central air conditioners, hot water heaters, and furnaces, you can reduce your energy use and your power bill. And that sounds a lot better than find out more with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Celebrate WGIL's 75th anniversary with our Diamond Blend Coffee from Innkeepers. Buy a pound today. 10% off the proceeds benefit the Fish Food Pantry. Details at WGIL.com.
Get ready to start the second quarter. Neither team scored in the first quarter. Both teams. This is Galesburg's third offensive possession, and they will line up to go for it on fourth down. Fourth and a long two from the Quincy 12. Isaacson in the pistol. Holloway behind him. Isaacson tried to draw Quincy off sides. Now looks to the sideline. They're going to change the play as he comes up behind Hawkins and lines up under center out of the I formation. Hands off to Range, right side, drives forward to the 10, but he's going to come up short. About a yard short of the first down as the hole closed very quickly. Credit to the Quincy defense, and the Blue Devils take over on downs at their own 10.
Yeah, not much controversy on that one. He hit the ground just about a yard shy as he tried to sneak under the pile there, but got shoved down at the 11. So pretty good movement by the Silver Streaks. Good drive, but it comes up empty. Now, as we have said, not only defensively do you want to contain a drive but prevent the big play. This is where many times it could be a backbreaker. You get the other team deep in their own territory, and then they rip off a long play on you. So we'll see what the Streaks can do defensively here.
Especially after they forced the Quincy fumble to take over the ball there. So the Blue Devils have it at their own 10. And a little miscommunication in the backfield. And the Silver Streaks drill Malik Robbins after he picked up the ball on a bounce. And he gets it up to about the 12-yard line. So a hard run of two after a near fumble and a loss in the backfield.
Yeah, the ball came right back to him, but he was all alone when he picked that up and tried to make something out of it. And that last lick he got, I don't know who hit him, but he dropped in a hurry. In fact, some of the Quincy people said, ooh, they felt that one up here.
Cardinals have a runner on second with two outs in the first inning. Carlos Beltran doubles off Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers do not score in the first. Bottom of the first, no score in St. Louis. We'll keep you updated there. Handoff goes to the first man. Bouncing to the outside goes Jordan Osborne up the side.
An angle, and of course Holloway's got great speed too. He might have saved the touchdown, but he was the
starts from their own 12. No score. We're just underway in the two wideouts to the near side, two to the left. Now going in motion goes Unmissig. Handoff goes to the left side, and the Silver Streaks stack up Malik Robbins at about the 25-yard line for a hard gain of two on first down.
Well, Quincy, almost said Quincy College. It used to be called that. Now it's Quincy University. This is their home field as well. I was asking, they said they just cover up they've got some banners on each side of the field that say Quincy Blue Devils. They just cover that up and go.
Out of the eye, Cricard now with a double handoff as Unmissig goes to the outside. Lead block by the quarterback, Cricard, and the Silver Streaks finally realize what's happening. Take down Unmissig hard, but he gets almost all the way to the 40-yard line. The Streaks run him out at the 30. Where are they going to stop him exactly? The 38, the 39. It's like they're going to spot it right on the 38 for a gain of 13. And Unmissig's been hard to contain for the Silver Streaks. Nice. Not a nice misdirection in the backfield. We had a pretty good look at it from up here.
Quincy's well-disguised attack. It's hard to figure out who's got the ball, and they usually have a running quarterback to go along with it. So You got to be heads up on defense, play assignment football to keep these guys contained.
More conservative set with a single running back, Robbins, in the backfield. He does take the handoff and a modest gain of a yard, maybe two on first down up to the 40. Approaching the 10-minute mark of quarter number two. Scoreless here so far at Flynn Stadium between the 5-2 Blue Devils and the 3-4 Silver Streaks.
Well, on defense, Quincy, when Coach Little was giving me the starters this week, he gave me five linebackers. I said, well, that's a little unusual. He said, well, he said they're all linebackers. He said, well, we'll pull them up on the defensive end from time to time depending on what we want to do. But they like to have five of them just off the ball if they can.
Toss play to the back. And Unmissick breaks free, then gets a lead block upfield, and he's going to take it all the way. One man to beat at the 10, and he will not catch it. Holloway was trying to come all the way from across the top of the field to catch up with Unmissick, but the pitch play ran perfectly, and the lead block was set by the tight end Holtzschlag downfield, and that freed up Unmissick to take it the full 60 yards for the first score of the game.
Yeah, they got everybody running parallel towards the Quincy sideline, and there really wasn't much depth for us there on defense. Once they got the one key block that you mentioned, that freed him up, and there was nobody else there until Holloway nearly tracked him down at about the 3-yard line coming over from an angle.
And now Unmissick has to catch his breath to kick the extra point.
Left-footed kicker.
With the left foot, yeah. 9:37 is where we are in the first half. The kick is on its way. And good. 7-0 Blue Devils. We're 2.5 minutes into the second quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Nobody covers Galesburg like WGIL.
Six-play scoring drive for Quincy. Remember, it started at their 10-yard line. They covered 90 yards in just 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the Silver Streaks forced a Quincy fumble on the previous possession. Took it all the way down to the Quincy 10 before they gave it up on downs, and Quincy takes advantage, moving it downfield quickly. The 60-yard touchdown run by Bryce Unmissig. And he's already at 100 yards rushing on just 5 carries.
I was more worried about Malik Robbins coming in here tonight, and he's done next to nothing, and Unmissick is just killing us.
So the kickoff now by the Blue Devils downfield, a high arching kick taken by the Silver Streaks' Ben Holloway at the 8-yard line, and he's hit from the side, kind of held by the arm and slowed down and tackled at the 28-yard line, 9:30 to go. Cardinals do not score in the bottom of the first. No score in St. Louis in Game 6 of the National League Championship Series between the Cardinals and the Dodgers. Rock Island with an early 14-0 lead over Moline as they look to go unbeaten in the final year of the Western Big Six.
We'll talk with Ralph Henning, athletic director at halftime, about the new facilities out at Galesburg High School and the progress being made there and the plans going forward into winter and in the spring. Not only talking about the football field, but the other athletic teams will be using that, as well as the physical education department, to make good use of that field house that's got the walls already up out there at GHS. So we'll learn more at halftime with Ralph.
Holloway stutter steps for a gain of 2 on first down. Holloway's already at 41 yards rushing. It's taken him 10 carries to get there, though. A little different than Unmissig's numbers for Quincy. Silver Streaks in the no huddle. As Isaacson starts to creep up under center, now backs up to the 26-yard line with Holloway behind him. Range and Eicher to the left. Holloway with a carry again. Stopped short of the 35-yard line for a gain of 5 more. But very quickly, the Streaks in another third down situation, facing third and a long
three. No huddle offense. If you're rolling, that's great, but you can end up having the ball for a very short window of time if you just go 3 and out, and that's happened to us a number of times this year.
Silver Streaks already 1 for 4 on third downs tonight.
He may
Holloway hit in the backfield and then somehow dragged a defender forward close to the 40-yard line, and that second effort is going to be enough to get the Streaks to move the chains at the 39.5.
Yeah, impressive. When he first hit the line, I thought, well, we're going to be punting again.
Yeah.
Somehow he is able to fight that thing out there near to the 40.
In fact, they're going to put the nose of the football right on the 40-yard line, and the Silver Streaks get an important third down conversion as they need to try to slow down Quincy's momentum after that long touchdown run by Unmissig. They put the Blue Devils up, and now Range bounces into the secondary, into Quincy territory, and finally stopped at the 45-yard line. Biggest run of the night for the Silver Streaks goes as a gain of 15 and a first down in Blue Devil territory.
Yeah, Range found some breathing room out there as he just slid off the left tackle and then bounced out to the outside a little bit. Ball at the 45 of Quincy, and the Streaks quickly up to the line. Clock keeps running at 8 minutes to go before halftime.
They seem to have picked up the pace here a little bit on the no huddle, and it's caught Quincy backpedaling a little bit. Now four defensive linemen to stop this Galesburg attack. Under center, Isaacson hands off to Holloway. Hit from behind, taken down at about the Quincy 38-yard line. A good gain of 7 on first down for the Silver Streaks. As we approach the 7:40 mark of quarter number 2, Blue Devils leading 7-0.
We were talking before the game about Quincy having a familiar assistant coach. Randy Dickens was the head coach here for a number of years before Rick Little took over.
And off to the right side, Range across right tackle, drags some defenders forward. Junior J.J. Range, and the Silver Streaks move the chains.
Well, hopefully we can not only knock on the door like we did. Stalled out just shy of the 10-yard line. And now we've got a timeout on the field. We got an injury down there maybe. Nobody's down on the field, but somebody was shaken up.
Shielded up here. We can't see the number for the Silver Streaks. I believe it's Gage Miller. As they've come out and actually have the arms around him, looks like they're going to help him off.
Big loss for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah,
Gage doing a good job in there.
Gage has played much of the second half of this season with that broken finger on his hand. So they get him off field. And that'll change the Galesburg offensive line a little bit. Jake McCreary in to help out. Mark Ojeda in there along the line. Matt Hawkins, whose name we've called out so much during the season, and the Silver Streaks come set. First down at the Quincy 33-yard line. Handoff up the middle. Holloway runs into a wall. Got a little burst of steam going and then just blasted right into Riverview. And that stopped that play immediately. Still goes as a gain of 2.
We're up here on the above the local hometown crowd, and when they announced Bew made the tackle, everybody said, Bew must be a local fan favorite.
60 yards rushing now for Ben Holloway on 14 carries. He and Range are lined up in the backfield. Range in the front of the offset eye. Play fake by Isaacson. Second pass of the night. Juggled by Darby and dropped inside the 25-yard line. That would have been right at the first down marker. Right into the numbers went the pass, but Darby couldn't haul it in, and it's incomplete to bring up 3rd and 8.
One of the few pass attempts we've seen.
Only the second of the night.
And when you go on necessitates you do it on 3rd down as well. I mean, you don't have to, but 3rd and 8 pretty well recognized as a passing down here unless we want to run the quarterback keeper with Isaacson.
I'll try to get 5 or 6 yards on the ground. Isaacson back to pass, looking down the far sideline, coming back for it, and is it intercepted? A real fight for it on the far side of the field, and I think Quincy's come up with it.
Yep. Yeah, Range is out there along the far sideline fighting off the man, and ball just a little underthrown, and the Blue Devils do indeed pick it off on the Silver Streaks' first turnover of the night.
So Quincy gave one up earlier on a fumble. Now the Silver Streaks give one up, but they give it up deep. Quincy Blue Devils take over just inside their own 3-yard line on Peyton Isaacson's second, now 3rd interception of the season. So the Blue Devils take over, 6.5 minutes to go in the first half. Leading already 7-0.
Yeah, a little deeper than where they started the last drive. This one at the 2, 3-yard line?
Just short of the 3. Three wideouts to the near side. Single setback. Handoff goes to him. Good
nothing
defense
there
by the Silver Streaks. Malik Robbins, I don't know. He would be fortunate to have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. Gills.
Time he was tackled, he was in the end zone. He ran into a couple of Streaks who took pleasure in throwing him back across safety, but as you said, Brad, no game there either.
Tough running night so far for Malik Robbins. Again, one of the real offensive stars in this league. 5 carries for just 6 yards tonight, but it's Bryce Unmissick who's done the damage for the Blue Devils. He also has 5 carries, but 100 yards, including that 60-yard touchdown run on Quincy's last offensive possession.
Uh-oh.
And now the Silver Streaks jump at the line, and very quickly the quarterback, Ricard, wisely snaps the ball with the Silver Streaks in the neutral zone, and that'll go as offsides, and instead of 2nd and 10 at the 2.5, it's going to make it 2nd and 5 between the 5 and the 10.
Yeah, tough penalty there. It's just
yep.
a 5-yarder, but after stuffing Quincy on their first down play, seemed like you had a little momentum and pushing them back, and then that gives them some breathing room now to call their next offensive play.
So just short of the 8, 2nd and 5 for the Blue Devils. Hand off to the right side, a little bit of a hole. Nice job by the Silver Streaks defense to trip up Robbins at the 10-yard line. Falls forward to the 11. And it'll be very close to the first down. I think it'll be about a half yard short here with third down upcoming.
For the first down. So a big defensive play here for the Streaks. Love to see a stop, get the ball back before the half with a chance to tie. Clock running just a hair over 5 minutes.
Only 2nd time tonight that the Quincy Blue Devils have faced third down. They don't need much. Cricard with the keeper. And it looked like not a very clean snap between the center and Cricard. In fact, J.J. Range is down there on the field pointing the opposite direction, thinking the Streaks may have had a fumble. And they're going to spot the ball. Looks like at about the same place it was. So it'll be officially no gain. In fact, now they may have actually backed. So not a clean snap between the center and the quarterback, and it prevents Quincy from any chance of gaining the third down here. They'll have to punt it away from just an end zone.
Well, this is a great scenario to be able to get this stop here, and still plenty of time on the clock at 4.5 minutes as they get set to kick it away.
And to get the stop after the Galesburg penalty.
Oh, you're
kidding.
Give
them a much
me.
Better chance, and now the Silver Streaks are going to get called for the penalty.
Oh, my gosh. That's...
So they jump into the neutral zone.
That's just unforgivable.
On the hard snap.
My goodness. After all that work and just give them the ball back. Wow.
2 Galesburg 5-yard penalties give Quincy a first down. So now they'll have it out at the 16-yard line.
Yeah, this is the same spot of the field that was our bad luck 2 years ago when we had that lead and then we gave up the ball, turnover or two, and next thing you know, Quincy had put up 3 quick scores and... Boy, that's a tough penalty.
At the 16-yard line, this is Jordan Osborne trying to bounce to the outside, upended at the 20-yard line. Forward progress, close to the 23. So a nice little gain of 7 on first down. And now Quincy's jazzed up a little bit after getting the Silver Streaks to bite on the hard count on the punt and a new set of downs.
Now, the thing you just can't afford is let Quincy get momentum and take it down the field and go up 2 scores at the half. If it's 7-0 at halftime, we're right there, but got to get another stop here.
Fast-moving first half, 3.5 minutes and counting. Now they get it to Robbins again, who runs into a Streaks defender.
Good job.
And the Streaks string it all the way out to the 27-yard line, but that's enough to move the chains. Might have had the initial stop, but then Quincy kept the line moving, and they get it up to the 27 for a gain of 4, and they needed 3.
Yeah, and Quincy not in any sort of a hurry-up offense. They go with the full huddle, and they do it 10, a good nearly 15 yards off the ball. They go way back there and have a good jaunt to get back up to the line of scrimmage.
And still all of their timeouts remaining, so with 3:15 still to go in the first half, no hurry to get downfield, still lots of time to go. Handoff goes to Robbins, and the Streaks pull him down from behind at the 29-yard line. He'll pick up 2 on first down. Cardinals batting in the bottom of the 2nd. No score in St. Louis between the Redbirds and the Dodgers. 2 outs in the bottom of the 2nd. Game 6 of the National League Championship Series.
And we will be picking that one up at the conclusion of our broadcast here tonight. So I would assume, unless the pitchers just mow everybody down, which could happen, there should be a couple, three innings left. Who knows, maybe more than that if they play extras.
At what point does Quincy go to the air? They go with a double handoff, trying to get it to the outside. Goes Brady Brockmiller, and the streaks string him out again, running east-west. He's never able to turn the corner, and the streaks, by the time they take him down, is all the way back behind the line of scrimmage. And forward progress, the officials are going to look like they're going to have it about the 27, so it'll end up as a loss of a couple. And it'll bring up third and long here, all the way back to third and just outside 10 yards.
And, you know, historically when we've come down here to Quincy, they're a team and a program that likes to utilize their athletes, open the field up, put them in good positions. We've seen double inside handoffs. New wrinkles at you. That time, though, the streaks were up to the task and strung it out to the wide side and forced a loss. And Quincy taking plenty of time here now as the clock winds down before they're going to snap this ball again.
Possibly a passing down. Will they consider doing that this deep in their own territory? They definitely have weapons. Seth Holtzschlag is a big target. Bryce Unmissig has already had a big game tonight. He's had a good season catching the ball as well as running it tonight for already 100 yards. Surprised that they haven't gone to him yet. Five carries for 100 yards and a 60-yard touchdown run. Pushed all the way back at their 2.5-yard line to start this drive, and he hasn't.
I'm surprised. And I'm thinking about throwing the ball here. I think you throw it deep. 40 left and that much left to go is fine. They could run the clock out, but I would think with their athletes, they might want to try and take a shot a little bit deeper down the field here. If that does get picked off, then, you know, you're probably looking at forcing Galesburg to go at least 50 yards. So my hunch is they probably won't do either one of those, but if I'm them, I might take a deep shot there once. They haven't thrown the ball down the field any so far here tonight.
Quincy uses one of its three first-half timeouts, a minute 41 to go here in this first half. Blue Devils leading 7-0. This will be the eighth play of the drive from their own 27. Back to pass. Cricard rolling out to the near side. Now tucks it in. Rolls right.
Good
and the streaks. Not yeah, exactly. Just the word I was thinking as they force him to stay inside the pocket, cut it upfield. They stop him short of the 30-yard line. Gain of a couple. It'll bring up 4th and 8. Now the Silver Streaks call timeout with a minute 31, and we've already seen Galesburg put together two scoring drives this season late in the first half, scoring once with 4 seconds to go before halftime and once on the final play of the half, and that's certainly what Coach Tim Doherty is thinking here. With the no-huddle offense, they can engineer a good scoring drive in a short amount of time, and if they can do a nice job here on special teams, maybe force a short punt, maybe get a block, although you don't want to be too aggressive. You've already had given up one first down on a penalty. You don't want to risk running into the kicker.
Yeah, you know, Coach Doherty was a little embarrassed with the defense's performance last week, but this looks like the defense that, you know, that showed up against Alleman and against Notre Dame, a number of those teams, especially through the first half. The Streaks have had a good game plan here to contain Quincy outside of the one long run. Streaks have done a great job on the defensive side of the ball.
Cardinals leave a runner on third in the bottom of the second. Still no score from St. Louis. Here it's Quincy 7, Galesburg nothing. A minute 31 to go here in this first half. Unmissing back at his own 16-yard line. The pressure is on, and a very short kick. This one might not even get to the 45. It bounces at the 44, takes a little bit of a Quincy hop over to the 46-yard line, and the strategy pays off. A very short kick goes as a net of the Silver Streaks have the ball in Quincy territory with a minute 21 to go in the first half.
Well, after we had got the boneheaded play and all right, we're going to do it again. Did get the stop and a good field position. Still a ways.
That's to the near side, including Ferguson and Moss. Back to pass. Isaacson looking that direction. Throws it. And there's nobody there. On either. And Isaacson threw it well, but Ferguson was not in the area. So it falls incomplete. Streak's fortunate not to have the interception.
Yeah, I think he was just throwing it down the middle and hoping that that Michael Moss could run underneath it. That had any shot at it were three Quincy defenders, but it was even a little beyond them.
0 for 4. Passing is Isaacson with an interception. Out of the pistol, handoff. Holloway bounces to the outside, got the first down inside the 35 to about the 34-yard line with a minute 9 to go. And the officials stopped the clock to move the chains. Nice run by Ben Holloway.
And a good call there. I think Quincy was looking for the pass, and we surprised him with the running play with Holloway.
Goes as a gain of 72 yards rushing now for Ben Holloway. As we approach the one-minute mark, Holloway again. Jerseys who throw him backward. He gets to the 31 for a gain of 3. And now Galesburg does stop the clock with 59 seconds to go in the first half. Trailing by a touchdown, it'll be 2nd and 7 upcoming.
Streaks do take the timeout. Little breeze at their back in this drive, so that's good. We're still a good
16 carries. So the workhorse. Is anybody more valuable out of the backfield than Ben Holloway is to the Silver Streaks?
Well, and defensively too. I mean, you talk about a guy that gets the most out of his body.
And as a marked man too. You look at Quincy, you look at Rock Island, even Alleman, not so much as they've had in the past, but they've got multiple weapons, and certainly some of the Peoria schools we've seen. Silver Streak, but they're not there yet. And Ben Holloway in the same class as a junior. Myler's just a sophomore, but a one-man show. But, again, credit to that offensive line for helping Holloway get us. 2nd and 7 for the Silver Streaks coming out of their timeout. 59 seconds to go, trailing 7-0. Holloway lines up behind Isaacson with three wideouts to the near side, one to the right. Isaacson goes right. Open is Josh Eicher. Makes the catch and dives out of bounds. And I think he's got to the point where they can stop the clock, and he's got a first down at the 22-yard line for a gain of 9. First completion of the night.
Nice job to get out of bounds there. So many times the temptation is to try and sneak inside and get a few more yards, but at this point, stopping the clock is more valuable than a yard or two, especially when you've already got the first down, and so a fresh set of downs and 53 seconds to go.
Isaacson hands off to Holloway, little hole across the right side, ducks inside the 20-yard line to the 18, maybe the 17, gain of 5 more. Clock continues to roll, under 45 seconds to play in the first half. Silver Streaks down a touchdown, 6th play of the drive upcoming. From the Quincy 18-yard line. Now the Silver Streaks getting set with 30 seconds to go. Took a lot of time off the clock. And Quincy points. Gilbert may have somebody lining up in the neutral zone. Yep. Somebody moved, apparently. It was a very subtle move, but the back judge saw it right away. So negate the 4-yard gain by Holloway, plus one more. It's going to be 2nd and 11.
Yep, little things come into play. It took us a long time to get that set, and then we end up getting a penalty anyway. That one hurt.
So only 5-yard penalties tonight for Galesburg, but they've all been important. Back to pass, Isaacson down the far side of the field in man-to-man coverage, and it looked like a lot of hand contact on the far side as Eicher was trying to free himself up from, I think it was Unmissing on the far side of the field. No flag came down. It's incomplete. And 3rd and 11.
Now trying to utilize Eicher's size there, and that's a good idea. At 6'4", it's much like what the Chicago Bears do with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. They'll get them out there and get a jump ball. If they can get a position, they'll come down with it.
Silver Streaks 2 for 5 on third downs tonight. This is the longest third down they face at 3rd and 11. 22 seconds to go before halftime. From the Quincy 23-yard line, trailing by a touchdown. Isaacson in the pistol. Range, the lead blocker, down the middle of the field, and he overthrows Ben Holloway, and it's intercepted by the Quincy Blue Devils, and the return upfield by Wes Creasy, and finally chased down in Galesburg territory at the 43-yard line.
You know, Creasy ran out of gas there just as he got across the 50-yard line.
It was Mark Ojeda who chased him down, so one of the offensive linemen giving credit for chasing down the linebacker after the interception. At the Streaks 41-yard line with 10 seconds to go before halftime.
Well, thankfully, he didn't take that back all the way. That would have been a tragedy. Still, Quincy, I'm guessing, will lean back, take a shot or two at the end zone here with the ball at the Galesburg 41. Yeah, here's a wild formation.
All right, so they. The offensive line goes student body left to line back up, and Galesburg calls timeout. It's saying, all right. Let's make sure our kids keep their heads straight here to go and not fall behind another touchdown.
Yeah, well, as we said, historically, Quincy's got a little razzle-dazzle in their pocket, and you may see whatever their optimum play is right here. We'll see anything too standard. Either throw it towards the end zone, I don't know, maybe take a little bit shorter route, advance it down the field. Watching their kicker in warm-ups, and could be deceived, but he didn't look like he was thumping the ball all that well tonight. Hopefully he won't get that close to get a shot at it with just 10 seconds left.
Again, at 43 degrees tonight, and they'd be kicking into the wind moving from our right to left, and Quincy moving to the right, so certainly not in field goal position even on the best of nights here, but with it being a little bit colder, really the coldest night we've had for football all season long, it certainly makes it tougher on the kickers.
Quincy band getting in position for their halftime performance. They are... tremendous music department down here at Quincy High School, and they always put on a big halftime show. Unusual, though, it's not senior night or homecoming. Usually we're here for one of those two games.
All right, so the same formation. Now they settle it back to the left as Seth Holtzschlag goes out to the left. Now he sets back up as a tight end. Now the Blue Devils use their last time out of the first half. So a chance to remind you that we'll be hearing from Galesburg Athletic Director Ralph Henning at halftime. And our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. And the good deals continue with financing rates as low as 0.9%, including on what we're driving tonight, Jim Lee. And a nice drive down. Thanks for letting me man the controls tonight as we travel down in a 2012 Nissan Altima. Find at Galesburg Nissan.
Yeah, Nissan 7-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, 150-plus point inspection on that vehicle, 24/7 roadside assistance, and vehicle history reports all assure you you're getting a good vehicle at Galesburg Nissan. Stop by and ask about the 2012 Nissan Altima.
All right, 10 seconds to go. Coming out of back-to-back timeouts and a high snap. Picard yanks it down, and a flag comes down.
Procedure against the Blue Devils.
Their first penalty of the night. So now they back up from the Galesburg 41 to the 46-yard line. Galesburg's errors in this first half. Trail being the first half. Trying to keep ends in 8 seconds and go into halftime down just a touchdown. So first and 15 now from their own 46.
I think the Breeze. The press box, I'm not
should
sure.
Should go back to 10.1, I believe.
Yeah.
Because right when the snap was made is when the flag was thrown. So technically, there we go. Now we've got it set.
Okay.
So technically, the snap was never made. Duckard backs up 5 yards behind for the snap. Looks downfield to the near side of the field. Two receivers there. Two defenders there for the Silver Streaks. And it falls incomplete. Galesburg had the better angle on that one, but Streaks couldn't bring it in.
Tyler Podwajski back. I thought he was going to intercept that ball.
So
he
did
was
I.
In position. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe the Quincy player got a finger on it, deflected it. So Quincy will get one more shot here with 4.1 left on the clock on second down.
Takes 6 seconds off the clock. First pass attempt of the night. First time Peyton Isaacson has had more than one interception in a game this season. And the Silver Streaks still scoreless with 4 seconds. Burton Osborne. Woo! All the Streaks need to do is make the stop, and Holloway pushes him out of bounds at the 16-yard line.
Good call there. I've seen that work a few times in my life, and if not for Ben Holloway, it might have worked again there.
And up high, we could see it developing really before the pass was even made. It was caught by Unmissick. He tossed it behind him to Jordan Osborne, and they advance it from the 46 down close to the 15-yard line, but that's the end of the first half, and the Streaks hang on, trailing by just a touchdown, 7-0. At halftime, Galesburg Athletic Director Ralph Henning joins us to talk about the athletic facility construction going on as the field house is now framed and should have a roof on it very quickly. We'll hear from Ralph Henning at halftime. We'll also catch you up to date on the Cardinals, get a Fox News update, lots of things coming up at halftime. But here at Quincy, it's 7-0 Blue Devils over the Silver Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's hunting season, so get your camo on at Farm King. Save $20 on Pro-Line waders and duck-blind camo. And don't forget the Pro-Line Ambush rubber boots. Save 10% on all Walls, ladies, and youth camo clothing in stock at Farm King. And for guys, Walls six-pocket mossy oak camo pants are just $19.99. Get your hunting dog in shape with a pheasant or duck scent training kit. Your choice, $19.99. Check out the dog GPS and collar trainer. And take 20% off all big dog tree stands in stock and all in-stock Allen gun cases now at Farm King.
What's up, guys?
Hey, we brought you McDonald's new Mighty Wing.
Wing? Like, singular?
Yeah, look how big it is, though.
Huge.
Well, it looks delicious, but you expect me to believe that McDonald's only has a one-piece? The box clearly says a five-piece.
What had happened was...
Introducing McDonald's all-new Mighty Wings. Plural. Bold, spicy, delicious bone-in chicken available in a 3, 5, or 10-piece. There's something for everyone to love at McDonald's. For a limited time only at participating McDonald's.
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with a halftime report.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football at Quincy, and I'm Jim Lee, Athletic Director Ralph Henning joining us now. And Ralph, you've got a facility out here that it's all in the books for the varsity. Van Dyke Field has been used for the final time for football. From what I understand, though, barring a playoff game, there still could be some use out here with some freshman games still to play, right?
Yeah, we have a couple Saturdays, including tomorrow, that we have to play out there. We'll be playing Quincy up at our place, and then we'll finish up the season with Peoria High. And tell me, the construction people are just chomping at the bit and when they can do it. But we're hoping that that there's some playoffs in our future.
That would require us to win the last two games. If we drop this game tonight against Quincy, that would knock us out of any playoff chance. And what happens at that point then? I assume, number one, the generators leave, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we had to have. I told them basically a couple weeks ago that this would that we would know our destiny after the Quincy game, because at that point we'll know whether we're in or out. And if we were to beat Quincy, I think that we could take care of Peoria High and get and win our way in. But, you know, mathematically eliminated if we're out. And then at that particular point, the generators will go, and they will start demolitioning a whole bunch of the field.
Including the press box, which we've spent a lot of time in the last few years, but probably no tears over that one, which had gotten to be a little bit outdated. I know the new one's going to be a lot better.
Absolutely. And, you know, we already have built a new storeroom onto the metal shed out there, and that was designed to put away the equipment that's currently stored in the storeroom under the press box. So it's just a matter of figuring out what they want to save, what they're going to try to scavenge out of the box. Obviously, there's a nice sound system in there. We have those windows are relatively new. Maybe somebody can use them someplace in the district. We'll see what they can do with it.
Okay, about the rest of the facility, how about the light standards and the bleachers?
The light towers will be gone. You know, the joke was basically on this is I know there's some lights out there, but if you waited about a month, you could put them in real easily because they'll be laying on the ground, which, you know, there's just not a lot of reason to replace those at this particular point. If the field isn't going to be much brighter than it already is, and it's already the dimmest one in the conference. So, but no, we also lose the locker room and the home stands, the east side stands. Now, the west stands are going to be saved, which will be nice because we'll need them for the track meets this spring. But we won't have a press box, so what we'll do is operate our timing system, which is FAT anyway, off a generator and run a mobile sound system just to get through those first couple of meets. Unfortunately, it'll all be porta potties, but that's the way it is.
It is in construction. Now, you mentioned track meets. Is there a possibility of maybe running one on the new track before the spring is over?
No. They do not expect to have it ready to go at this time, and we still have the issue of not having the middle the field in yet. They don't anticipate putting in the field turf until next spring. So, no, as tempting as it would be, because they're putting those stands in right now, the cement stands, the lower ones inside the hills, it would be nice to have it. But, you know, they're doing such a wonderful job of being on schedule and getting things done that I wouldn't even want to push it further. They've done more than we could expect them to do.
What will be the use for what is the former Van Dyke Field? Will that just be a practice field now for football?
Well, that's kind of what we're thinking. You know, it gives us an opportunity to do a variety of things. If we needed to, we could even certainly we'll line it for practices and things like that. We will be putting in a discus circle on the north side. It won't be on the actual field, so it could still be there. And then we'll also have shot put circles as well on the on the one side of the field as well. So it's there, it's available. I'd like to keep it. It'd be nice to keep the grass and turf available. You know, maybe we could use it as a backup. Whether we're to take down the goalpost, I doubt we would do that. It'd pretty much just sit there without stands and stuff as a possible field. Another aspect of this is the band as well. The band shed is actually going to be where the current bleachers are, and that's so there would be a possibility of maybe doing some things out there, marking the field and running, you know, doing a little band formations out there as well. But, you know, certainly the band is welcome to work in the stadium. We just have to coordinate the times and stuff like that, because that's one of the advantages of having field turf, is that marching band can go all over them and it'd be just fine. I mean, that's what Dunlap is all about. Their marching band just loves it because it's consistent turf, and they have the lines out there. They're playing in a stadium all the time for the sound effects that they want.
Okay, let's talk. We've talked about what's going to happen to the old part of the property. Talk about the new construction. The most obvious thing is the walls on that field house just seemed to almost blossom overnight. That thing's getting up in a hurry.
Oh, absolutely. You know, those are 37 feet slabs that came from South Beloit, and they went up. I mean, they put up several of them in a day, and now they're putting in the, if you look inside it, if you were able to see it, they have the rafters and things like that, or beams are getting put up. It's just happening very quickly. It's the prefabrication is the key, and I know some people here were referencing, I think, one of the buildings south on the south side of town, one of the factories had prefabricated walls like that, and they remarked how quickly it went up, and the same thing is here.
I suppose the goal to get everything enclosed so you can start doing interior work when the weather turns cold.
You are 100% right on. That's exactly what they're thinking, and they're looking right now very good for that, unless we have some, you know, strange early November snowstorms or something like that. They should be right on.
Yeah. Now, for those that might not be familiar with the new field house, what will that encompass? What all will be used there?
Well, it'll be a fantastic practice facility, but it'll also be wonderful for PE. It will have a three-lane 200-meter track, which is essentially an eighth of a mile track. It's the same distance as the track down at Fleming Fieldhouse at Knox. It's only three lanes, but it'll be plenty for us, and then we have four sprint lanes on the north side. So when we run time trials and have track practice, we can get real times, real distances, and everything. And, of course, the PE kids, whether they like it or not, they will have a nice track to walk and run before they warm up for their classes. We'll also have a wooden basketball floor, which is a tremendous thing, because our current Weichel has the tartan floor, I called it, the composition floor, and really nobody wants to play varsity basketball on one of those floors. I think Manuel had one of those at one time, and I think everybody's gotten back into wood. Now when we have our tournaments here and we have our boys and girls basketball tournaments, if we need to send a game, a varsity game at another place, we don't have to go to Lombard or to Knox. We can send it over in the other building. Of course, the crowd situation have to be two teams that we don't expect a huge crowd for, but there's several games like that. We also have a composition basketball court, and I've looked at the materials. It should be a better situation than we have in Weichel. The other part of it is has the ability to put tennis courts in. We can put a couple tennis courts, lots of pickleball, lots of things. We've got batting cages that come down from the ceiling. The second half of the has a little rougher surface. It would be a good place to do a variety of things indoors. PE, it would be a great place to do even like a little flag football or something inside.
You've also got a weightlifting facility, I understand, that will overlook the football field.
Yes, and actually the part that overlooks the football field, and really the overlook is right there, which is going to be bizarre because you can see it go right over top of the track, is going to be a fitness or aerobic training room. And behind that, on the second floor, will be the weight room. And the weight room will be very comparable in size to what we have, which will be actually bigger for us because right now we have all of our fitness equipment combined in the weight room, and now they'll be separated from each other by just a matter of feet and a couple doorways. In fact, it's the way it's set up. A teacher can supervise both places because of the windows and the doorways and stuff like that.
And then getting to the field itself, what is the timetable? I guess obviously everything needs to be ready to roll by next fall.
Yeah, it should be ready to go in August. When we start football practice, we'll be practicing on there. We'll probably have the field house will be we've got to move. We're going to try to time it out so that we can make the move with our fitness equipment at the right time, maybe catch it late July and get that set up, because when we're done with when we're able to move over there with our fitness room and our locker rooms and everything, then the old weight room becomes a remodeled wrestling room for us. And the training room is also moving out of there, but we'll have a training room in the new facility.
As the time draws closer for them to complete this, we'll talk again, because we could go on and on about the great improvement that this is going to be to the Aylesburg campus. I'm guessing there'll be some people want to come out and watch, especially when they start putting some of that field turf down. It's kind of interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, you know, they've got, if you go online for field turf and stuff like that, they'll show you like the Tulsa Stadium. They'll do it in time lapse where they show the trucks and stuff coming and they're going across the field and sewing it in. It is really a neat process. And I want to emphasize again, the people that are doing this are the same people who did Rock Island Stadium, and that place is phenomenal. They've had it for 5 years now, looks brand new, and they've taken good care of it, and I'm hoping that will be the same thing for us.
All right. Well, Ralph, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Again, we'll catch up later as we get into the school year, find out when we get into the spring just how things are progressing again. Thanks. Take care.
Oh, thank you very much, and let's go Streaks.
All right. Ralph Heading, Athletic Director for Aylesburg High School, our guest here at halftime. We'll be back with more from Quincy's Flynn Stadium after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
75 years as Aylesburg's radio station.
WGIL, Aylesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
In a process that started after the death of 7-year-old Ryan Maxwell, the Aylesburg City Council will review the newly revised animal control ordinance Monday night. The measure will only be on first reading and is likely to be adopted in November during its final reading, but the changes have created heightened emotions during several public hearings. The ordinance was put into legal form by City Attorney John Hanlon recently, detailing the process by which a dog is determined dangerous as well as leash requirements. Carl Sandburg College is on the verge of making its campus a player in training programs for railroad-based industries. College officials announced at a luncheon today for local legislative leaders that they are close to finalizing a contract with the Kansas-based National Academy of Railroad Sciences, which would make Sandburg a training site. Lawmakers today praised the college's efforts to up its game in terms of training for jobs at Knox County's largest employer, Burlington Northern Santa Fe. I'm Tyler Maffitt, top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. President Obama going with a familiar face, nominating former top Pentagon lawyer Jay Johnson for Homeland Security Chief.
Johnson says he was not looking for this job, but he couldn't pass up the opportunity, having witnessed the 9/11 attacks in New York. Johnson was also a top fundraiser for President Obama, and that bothers Republicans like Texas Senator John Cornyn, who says the nation needs someone who knows how to secure the border, not dial for dollars.
Fox Radio's Mike Makowicz, Johnson still must be approved by the Senate. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 28 points to post its second straight weekly gain. The Nasdaq jumped 51 as Google stole the show.
Google crossed $1,000. Certainly been a stellar performer this year, up 43% as Google continues to deliver numbers that impress Wall Street.
Fox's Nicole Petolides. Google up nearly 14%. The S&P rose 11, extending its record high. Fox News, we report, you decide.
With the help of donor funds, this father of two is able to send his children to the Knox County YMCA's Kid Care Station, a facility that is supported by people right here in the community and gives many children a safe, fun, and educational place to stay while mom and dad are at work.
But to anybody that's considering donating or giving the blessings that they've been given to the YMCA, I think the Kid Care Station would be a great way to do that. For an example, just any day that I go there and pick my kids up, and half the time they don't want to leave because they're having so much fun. But, you know, just seeing the smile on their face and how much they're enjoying it and how much they're loved on by their teachers and the great facilities that they have at their disposal, just a blessing for everybody and just a great way to give and see that tangible gift played out in the lives of others.
At the Y, no one is ever turned away for an inability to pay. The Y. So much more.
Be prepared for your repair. Sounds like the Scout motto.
Oh, I'm prepared, all right, to destroy this box of Thin Mints I just found in my desk.
A good Scout always shares, you know.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
When it happens in the world of sports, we are there. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on WGIL.
The Silver Streaks trail the Quincy Blue Devils 7-0. Only touchdown of the first half for the Blue Devils. Bryce Unmissig with a 60-yard touchdown run. He has 5 carries for 100 yards. Malik Robbins, 7 carries for 12. Jordan Osborne, 4 carries for 48, including the back end of that hook and ladder play at the end of the first half. As the Silver Streaks kept the Blue Devils out of the end zone, Brady Brockmiller has 1 carry for -2, and the quarterback, George Cricard, has a carry for 2 yards. Ricard on that hook and ladder's only pass completion of the night for 6 yards. He's 1 for 2. Let's go down to the field for a quick interview between Jim Lee and Streaks head coach Tim Doherty. Let's find out what the team discussed in the locker room.
Okay, Coach Doherty, first half, obviously you're right in the game.
Yeah, our boys have played a great first half, but, you know, we got to finish this game off. It's about us right now, and kids are playing hard. We just got to finish.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
A lot of discussion by the Silver Streaks amongst themselves, so not a whole lot of time to talk with Coach Tim Doherty. Let's run through the Galesburg stats from that first half. Ben Holloway leads Galesburg offensively with 16 carries for 80 yards. J.J. Range, 6 carries on the ground for 41. Peyton Isaacson has run it 3 times for 4 yards. Tough night through the air for Isaacson at quarterback, 1 for 7 with 2 interceptions. He has passed for 9 yards, his only completion to Josh Eicher. Silver Streaks penalized 4 times for 20 yards, all the 5-yard variety, but all were important at the time, even though, you know, it's not a 15-yard face mask or personal foul or 10-yard holding penalty, anything like that, anything major. But the five-yard penalties tonight have come at very poor times for the Silver Streaks and have killed some momentum, and two of them specifically allowed Quincy to pick up a first down deep in the Blue Devils' own territory, but even on that drive, they didn't end up punting away. Cardinals have scored twice in the bottom of the third. RBI base hits from Carlos Beltran and Yadier Molina, and now the Redbirds have loaded the bases with two outs, still batting in the bottom of the third against a guy who could be the National League Cy Young Award winner, Clayton Kershaw, and see if they can get one more in at least with Shane Robinson coming up to bat. And he already has a hit tonight as Cardinals try to build on that 2-0 lead, still batting in the bottom of the third. Ready to get things kicked off here. Silver Streaks had the ball to start the game, so the Blue Devils will receive the kickoff here to begin quarter number three. Quincy leading 7-0, and a line drive kick rolling down to the 10-yard line where Robbins scoops it up, trying to juke past a couple of defenders. He's able to pick up five more yards on a little run after the catch as he gets the shoulders down low and takes it across to the 26-yard line. We are underway in the second half.
It was a long walk to have the coach say, we're doing well, got to finish better.
Yeah.
Whew, yeah, that's a long haul at Flynn Stadium to get down there, but that's all right. At least we made contact with the coach. He said he was, before we went on the air there, he said he was very happy with, for the most part, the way his team has played here and responded with great game plan. Just need to do a few more of the little things right.
Great to be up high in the press box at this angle to be able to see the field so well. But, yeah, when you got to run down and then run all the way back up, not so easy. All right, best run of the night there for Malik Robbins, who gets very close to the first down as he got down low across left tackle, carries it up to the 35-yard line. He's just a half yard short of the first down. Robbins, 7 carries for 12 yards in the first half, and he picked up 9 there. Shane Robinson drives in 2 more, a two-out hit, key one for the Cardinals as this two-out rally continues. Molina got a hit, Freeze got a hit, Adams reached base on a walk, and now Robinson drives in 2 more runs. It's 4-0 Cardinals, still batting in the bottom of the third.
Amazing.
And we're going to try to get to the Redbirds here at the end of this game. I'll tell you what, if this game goes as quickly as the first half did, we may pick that game up in the fifth inning. Robbins gets the first down as he crosses the first down marker up to close to the 39-yard line.
A very fast-moving first half. The ball was on the ground most of the time. We didn't have many penalties there. The last couple of minutes went slow because of the change of possessions, couple of timeouts, and, of course, Quincy took a lot of time to get those final two plays off. But still, all in all, compared to some of the evenings we've had at Quincy, this one's flying along.
And it is very early, obviously. That could turn around in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Hand off to the last man through. Wow. Jordan Osborne runs over a Silver Streak defender and still being dragged underneath.
Oh, my gosh. Moss came up there to make the tackle, and he just got clobbered.
Got flattened, didn't he?
Wow. He was still hanging on to his leg, though, but he got it in the helmet and just went straight back.
All the way up close to, well, crosses the 47-yard line. It'll be 2nd and 1 after a gain of 8 by Osborne, and he's been an effective runner tonight. We talked so much about Unmissick there in the first half. But Osborne has carried it now 5 times for 57 yards. So that's a pretty good average.
Well, I think of that ESPN segment they used to do on Monday nights. They said you got jacked up. Moss got jacked up by the ball carrier that time.
Hand off to the right side. Ooh. Good Streaks defense, stopping the run short of the 50-yard line by Robbins. But I think he got just enough for the first down. He didn't need much. Just a yard or maybe to bring the chains out, possibly. Stops the clock. We played 2 minutes here in the third quarter. Now he decides not to measure, and it's a first down Blue Devils at the 49-yard line.
So back-to-back first downs on the first possession of the second half for Quincy as they look to take control of this ball game. Silver Streaks trying to hang in there within a touchdown. And again, we've seen this scenario a couple of times this year with the Streaks against good teams. Holloman and Notre Dame hanging right in there at the half. Third quarter has been our undoing. Let's hope it's not tonight.
Pete Cosma draws a walk, and that brings up Cardinals pitcher Michael Wacha with the bases loaded. Two outs in the bottom of the third inning. Cardinals leading 4-0. 4 runs in the bottom of the third for the Redbirds and a gain of 6 on first down here for the Blue Devils. They are in Galesburg territory at the 45.
Okay, if they go on to the World Series, it's kind of the making of the legend of Michael Wacha, I think, what he's done there at the end of the season and into the postseason.
All right, wing back formation for the Blue Devils. Rolling out to the near side, Cricard pump fakes. Little screen pass caught at the 40-yard line. And that moves into first down territory. Stopped at the 36-yard line after the pass completion to Malik Robbins. So they're opening up the playbook here a little bit in the second half, showing a few more plays. Waka strikes out to end the third, but a good fourth inning for the Cardinals.
Well, that's a good thing for Quincy that time for a quarterback, Cricard, that he had an outlet there because Ryan Darby came blowing right through there, got on him in a hurry, but he was able to dump that ball off to a back and pick up a first down.
Goes as a gain of nine. Now they go to Unmissig for the first time since early in the game. Late flag comes in as the Silver Streaks stop him for a gain of five at about the 32-yard line. And it immediately signaled hold against the Quincy Blue Devils, so that play will come back.
Team that didn't get penalized much in the first half picks up a key one right here.
Only one time, and that was very late in the second quarter. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, we talked about it, Jim, before you got all the way back up here. Only four penalties themselves. And what we've seen in recent weeks is each one of those five-yard penalties, while not much in yardage, came at real crucial times, and they were bad penalties at a bad time.
They sure did. They sure did. And a couple of them we thought might end up costing us points didn't, as the defense stiffened after, especially the one down near the goal line. But here we are, still down just 7-0. Let's see if we can't stop this Quincy drive.
First and 18 now after the holding penalty from the Galesburg 44-yard line. A toss play into the backfield. Osborne,
yeah, good job.
Hit by Darby, slowed down, still on his feet, still moving the pile inside the 40 to the 39-yard line. A heck of a run by Osborne to pick up five there. Gains back half of the yardage, plus one.
Yeah, three or four of those yards came after he was initially stood up by several Streaks players.
Six carries, 62 yards tonight for Jordan Osborne. Waka, meanwhile, we talk about the Cardinals leading 4-0. He does not have a no-hitter. He has given up a hit already in the first three.
And he's slipping.
He is. All right, second and we'll call it 13 here from the Galesburg 39-yard line. 8 minutes and counting in the third quarter. 7-0 is the Blue Devils on a 60-yard touchdown run by Bryce Unmissig in the first quarter. Streaks jump into the neutral zone, and another flag by the Silver Streaks. And now you go from second and 13 to second and 8.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if maybe the Quincy quarterback doesn't have the cadence that he can just, he's just toying with us right now, I think.
And more so than the down to distance, it's the field position now. That's taking the ball down to the Galesburg 34-yard line. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. This will be the eighth play of the drive that started at the Quincy 26 to open the second half. Up the middle goes Malik Robbins, tripped up and taken down at the 21-yard line. That's right at the first down marker. And the official eyeballing the stick on the far sideline. Still looking at it, and he's going to say, let's bring out the chains. And even if he doesn't make it, it's still going to be third down, so the odds in Quincy's favor here.
Yeah, when it takes three of them looking over there and they're kind of tilting their head, you know it's a pretty good chance they're not just going to say, oh, move the chains. They're going to bring them out and make double sure here. And as you said, Brad, even if it's not a first down, it's still they still have two cracks at it on third down and what's probably about an inch. So we'll see what the sticks say. The sticks say he's...
I think he got it by an inch.
A little short.
Oh, no.
So now you hope for maybe one of those five-yard penalties that we've had in bad situations. Maybe Quincy's got one in them that would stall their drive.
Trying to keep you updated on other scores from around the area. We'll check here. So Quincy, 0 for 3 on third downs tonight. They do have a fourth down conversion on a Galesburg penalty back in the first half. Third down and less than a foot. Two tight ends with the offensive line packed in tight. They go with a handoff instead of Cricard keeping it up the middle, but they do get enough across the 25 down to the 23-yard line.
Lunge that time. I don't know if it's Robbins maybe, but they got the first down either way.
Picked up three on it. Robbins has been the guy here in the second half. Quincy's now held the ball for the first 4.5 minutes of the second half, and they've taken it down to the Galesburg 23-yard line.
Near as I can tell, the game of the night up at Alleman, where they're hosting Richwood, 7-7. Looks like that one's at halftime.
And no surprise there. We knew that would be a battle.
Yep.
Toss play to the outside. This will be Unmissig. Contained and then cuts back up the middle. Good job by the Silver Streaks defense holding Unmissig to a gain of a yard down to the 22-yard line. His shortest run of the night. His first carry of the night went for three. Since then, he's gone 13, 11, 13, and 60 for the touchdown, the only one of the night so far. Second and nine coming from the Galesburg 22-yard line as we've gone under 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Quincy's had the ball the entire second half so far. Silver Streaks need a turnover here. They got one in the first half. Weren't able to turn it into any points. Quincy getting a little too deep for comfort's sake here. Kirkard with a handoff to Robbins, trying to bounce to the outside. Dragged down by the jersey, held up, slowed down, and then tackled from behind at the 18-yard line. He'll pick up four more. It'll bring up third and five.
Well, from what you've seen comparing to last week with Rock Island, are you surprised that Quincy was able to nearly beat the Rocks? I mean, judging from the two teams we've seen, there's no comparison. But as we say, Quincy's defense is shutting us out at this point.
Right.
So I guess you can't knock that.
Quincy's defense has been broken off, but one big play here tonight. Pitch play into the backfield. Robbins cut off from the sideline, bounces off some men, and then finally run out of bounds. But he's got enough for the first down at the 15-yard line. No, they're going to say he was out short of the first down marker. How about that? All right, so that'll bring up fourth and two, but two down territory here. Still looking for their first third down conversion of the night.
Well, and a nice job of playing keep away. If they get this first down and then take a little more time, they'll have chewed up nearly the entire third quarter clock here. It's under 6 minutes already, and we haven't seen the ball yet.
Right. 56 yards on the ground tonight from Malik Robbins, 44 of them here in the second half, as they will go for it on fourth and two. Remember, they have gotten Galesburg to jump off sides three different times tonight, including once for a first down earlier in the game. They need only 2.5 here. Pitch play to the outside, and Osborne drops the ball. And they're not going to get the first down. They will give it up on downs, even if Galesburg doesn't recover the fumble.
I have never, at any level, been a believer in throwing wide, pitching wide on short yardage situations. Once in a great while, you make that work, but more times than not, you're just asking to lose yardage instead of going straight forward, and Quincy did it there. I'm glad they made the play call. The Streaks were up for it, and Galesburg has the ball.
So they take over half the time of the third quarter clock off, and the Silver Streaks take over at their own 18-yard line, 5:50 to go, third quarter. Handoff goes to the right side. Holloway with a burst of steam across the 20 to the 24-yard line. Good gain on first down. And still a little movement even after the play as the ball came rolling out. But I think the officials were quick to say that the ball was down. It'll bring up second and six.
Boy, he hit the line hard that time.
Well,
you
could
tell he was ready to have that first carry of the second half.
Anxious to have the ball in his hands instead of trying to get the ball from somebody else. 86 yards now for Ben Holloway. Back to hand off. Isaacson again to the left side. Holloway gets a little bit of running room, and he stopped, looks like, right at the first down marker at about the 28-and-a-half-yard line, and the officials stop the clock with 5:11 to go as they want to eyeball this one.
May have to call for another measurement here.
Or at least take a look at it. And the signal first down for the Silver Streaks. Nice not to be in third down for once. Streaks face third down six different times in the first half, and many times it was not third and short. 90 yards on the ground now for Ben Holloway. Hand off to Holloway again, trying to get down low, gets underneath a couple of defenders at the line of scrimmage, crosses the 30 to the 32-yard line as he picks up four more.
You know, the tough part against this Quincy defense is sustaining it at that
short
pace all the way down the field. You need to be able to rip off a big play or two probably to find your way to the end zone. But for now, we'll take the slow, methodical approach. We still got a quarter and 4 minutes to get there.
Richwoods now leads Alleman 10-7 in the second quarter. The antithesis of that game is the Rock Island Moline game with the Rocks leading 47-0 in the first half. So suddenly getting beat 56-20 last week doesn't seem quite as painful.
Yeah,
Streaks call timeout with 4:25 to go third quarter here.
I thought maybe being a rivalry game that Moline might be able to muster something and give their longtime rivals a little go, but they've got nothing. Moline is just in the tank here at the end of this season.
So on second and a long six here, 4:25, the Streaks call timeout. Our thanks again to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight as Jim Lee and I travel in a 2012 Nissan Altima. And again, lots of great deals going on at Galesburg Nissan that you will want to check out. Lots of vehicles on the lot. I just like driving through the lot and looking at all the great-looking vehicles out there and thinking, I ought to just take some time and come out and just try some of these. And you folks, hey, it's a beautiful weekend. Go out and do it tomorrow, right? Check out some low financing rates all the way down to 0.9% in some cases. Yeah, pre-owned certified, 7-year, 100,000-mile limited warranties.
Tough part isn't finding one you like. It's picking out which one you like the best.
Yeah, that's right. All right, second and six for the Silver Streaks coming out of the timeout at their own 32-yard line. 7-0 Quincy. Blue Devils put together a long drive to begin the second half here. They had the ball 13 plays, took over 6 minutes off the clock. Now the Silver Streaks on offense get a first down up to the 40-yard line.
Range that time with the carry, and JJ's got that ability to move his body sideways. He takes advantage of that. He keeps his legs driving, and even when he gets spun a little bit sideways, he's still able to gain forward momentum. Good strong run, and now we got a penalty flag.
Yeah, there's a flag down right where the play came to an end, and Quincy's backing up.
This is nice.
15 yards puts Galesburg into Quincy territory at the Blue Devil 44-yard line. Okay, personal foul. And so often when you see the flag down right where the play ends, it ends up going against the defense, and the officials flag somebody for Quincy for hitting range in the head. Not in the head literally, because he does have a helmet on, thankfully. So their third penalty of the night, but 25 yards and penalties in the second half. Hand off to Holloway, running right, and runs into a wall and then pushed backwards. Gains maybe a yard on first down. It'll be second and nine from the 43.
Well, if we continue this drive, it may be one of those strange quarters where each team has the ball one time. Quincy with a long drive that came up empty, and now Galesburg answering, moving the ball toward the Quincy goal. Hoping that we don't come up empty. We've got to get this thing tied up somehow.
Actually going to give Holloway credit for 2 yards there, so it's second and eight.
Goes range.
Sophomores lost tonight, 41-0, and range with another first down, running right across tackle, down to the 32-yard line for a gain of 10 more. And J.J.'s provided a nice change of pace here after it's been Holloway, 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 and then all of a sudden you go to range, and he's got two carries for 18 yards. In a big hurry.
Yeah, J.J.'s becoming the runner, the compliment, as you said, that we've been hoping for to give us a little bit more diversity in that backfield.
To the line quickly, back to Holloway, across right tackle, crosses the 30 down to the 28-yard line for a pickup of four more, and the Streaks are moving deeper into Quincy territory with 3:20 to go in the third quarter.
You know, we ran the ball very, very well last week, and hopefully we don't stall out now as we finally got it inside the 30 on this. Best drive of the night so far for the Silver Streaks.
Dodgers threaten with a hit in the fourth, but that's all they can muster. And going to the bottom of the fourth, Cardinals lead L.A. 4-0. Game six of the National League Championship Series from Busch Stadium. 7-0 Quincy here. Second and six for the Silver Streaks. Little delay there. That play did not develop quickly enough, and Holloway's taken down behind the line of scrimmage at the 31 for a loss of three. And that'll bring up third and nine. Let's hope this doesn't kill the Silver Streaks' drive here.
Yeah, just great penetration by the Quincy interior defense that time. They blew us up inside, and nothing Holloway could do. Usually he can find a way to skirt a yard or two out of that, but he just got bulldogged down as soon as he got the ball.
So he hit 100 yards rushing on the previous gain of four. Now he drops back under 100 with a loss of three. Third and nine. Back to pass. Isaacson looking left. Now goes right. Man-to-man coverage. Underthrown a bit, and Quincy gets in. Knocks it down right at the goal line, preventing the deep play, and it'll bring up fourth down.
Well,
I think that was Bryce Unmiss or got down there. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Wes Creasy who got down there.
You got to say this for Quincy pass defense. It's been terrific. We haven't had a man open I've seen all night.
Consequently, 1-for-8 is Peyton Isaacson with two interceptions and only 9 yards passing. 2:11 to go, third quarter, 7-0, and let's see what the Streaks want to do on fourth and nine from the Quincy 31-and-a-half-yard line.
Yeah, well, you really can't punt here, so nope. you got to go for it.
Three wideouts to the near side, one to the top of the field, with Holloway lined up behind Isaacson. Fakes the handoff. Isaacson steps left, looks toward the end zone. Ferguson is there. What a deflection! Batted free in the end zone, and Brady Brockmiller deflected it over to Jake Ferguson, and the Streaks are within a point of tying the game.
You never know what's going to happen. You got to take your shot down the field there, and the Silver Streaks. Maybe that was after the ball had already been batted into the air. At that point, it's anybody's ball, and the Silver Streaks get the touchdown, and now we need the extra point to tie this thing up.
An enormous fourth down conversion for the Silver Streaks, and it brings in Dan Garcia, who took over the place-kicking duties for the Silver Streaks last week against Rock Island, and a very important extra point here. A high snap, and the block is made, and it was tough for Tyler Podwoiski to bring that one down in position where Garcia could get the kick away, and Podwoiski comes up off the bottom of the pile, pounding the turf as the Streaks still trail by one with 2:03 to go in the third quarter. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
My tummy doesn't feel so good.
I can't get rid of this sinus headache.
Ouch.
For minor illnesses and injuries that aren't 911 emergencies, but there isn't a remedy in your medicine cabinet, that's when you turn to OSF Prop Care in Galesburg or OSF Holy Family Clinic in Monmouth. Appointments aren't necessary, and both locations are open weekends. So when you have a cut that needs stitches and it's Saturday, medical professionals are available. OSF Prop Care and OSF Holy Family Clinic. Altogether better.
Get moving!
We see a different kind of road rage at Bates.
People come in upset and angry because they may have done something dumb.
That's when we get to shine with our own patented brand of road rage relief.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision.
Have a nice day, buddy!
Out of collision.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
.203 to go in the third quarter, and the Streaks kickoff goes out of bounds. So the penalty puts Quincy at the 35-yard line. A 10-play scoring drive for Galesburg, 82 yards downfield. They take 3 minutes 47 seconds off the clock. Isaacson to Jake Ferguson on a 4th and 9, completes a 31-yard touchdown pass. But the extra point is blocked, and the Blue Devils still lead 7-6 with 2:03 to go here in the third quarter. Now, why is the ball sitting at the 38-yard line? Shouldn't it be at the 35? Well, that's where it's going to be, apparently. All right. Three running backs and all kinds of misdirection in the backfield. Goes to Jordan Osborne, escapes one tackle from behind, and finally dragged down from behind in Galesburg territory at the 47-yard line. Christian Powers was doing everything he could to chase down Osborne. He had a beat on him in the backfield, but Osborne ran around one of his own teammates, and that shielded Osborne, or rather Powers, for the Silver Streaks, and Osborne is able to gain 19 on first down, and just like that, they're back in Galesburg territory at the 46.
Undefeated Mercer County having a little trouble with River Valley. They're up now. They were only ahead 20-13. But got an 80-yard touchdown run to spread the gap.
Another fumble on the snap and a scramble for it. Galesburg says they have it at the 46-yard line. The officials are unpiling, and Quincy somehow came up with it. So nearly another turnover by the Blue Devils, but the Quincy offensive line falls on it, and Coach Tim Doherty is upset on the far sideline. So 2nd and 10 after the near fumble, after the near turnover, I should say. Of course, we're way up high, hard to see from up here. Now out of the I formation, the offset I. Again, the double handoff and another miscommunication, another fumble, and this time unmissing falls on it back at the 49-yard line. So back-to-back fumbles, but Galesburg not able to come up with either one of them. It does bring up 3rd and 13.
Well, Quincy just in all sorts of mess on offense right now, partially due to the Streaks playing solid defense, but Quincy just making some blunders. Let's hope that continues. I thought maybe Quincy, once they saw Galesburg tied it, would really just mow down the field right now and say, we've got to put the hammer down. But so far, they've done anything but that, and the Streaks trying to maybe get that turnover.
Out of the I formation, Streaks need another third down stop. Across the middle, and it's nearly intercepted, but batted down by Ryan Darby at the 45, and the Streaks do hold on third down. So three straight plays, they nearly come up with an interception, but they do apparently, hopefully, force the punt here just at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, you'd love to have the ball at the 50, but we'll take it in whatever form we can get it. And Holloway going to drop back. He'll return the punt, standing right now at about his 15. We'll see where the ball lands.
Quincy 0 for 5 on third downs tonight. 24 seconds to go at the end of the third quarter here. Streaks trailing by a point, anticipating getting the ball back. Nearly a block, but he does get the kick away. Unmissing does, and it bounces at the 20 and takes a very short roll inside to the 17-yard line. And with 13 seconds to go in the third quarter, Galesburg takes over, trailing by a point.
About where the Silver Streaks started their last drive and went all the way down, ended up in the end zone, and they need to do it again since we blew our extra point opportunity. It forces us to score twice to Quincy's once to be able to take the lead here.
The last drive started at the 18. This one starts at the 13. Streaks will look to run one more play here before the end of the third quarter. With Range, the lone setback behind Isaacson, he's talking with his offensive line. One wide out to the near side. That's Holloway. One to the far side, and two tight ends in tight. Hand off to the right side, a hole for J.J. Range. Dives forward close to the 25-yard line. Nice gain on first down for the final play of the third quarter. And we get ready for the fourth quarter from Flynn Stadium at Quincy. Galesburg will face second and two as we begin the fourth quarter trailing 7-6. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
What is that noise? It's driving me crazy.
Honey, it's our power meter.
Please make it stop.
Put a stop to the clicking by calling Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today. With the installation of higher efficiency central air conditioners, hot water heaters, and furnaces, you can reduce your energy use and your power bill. And that sounds a lot better than... Find out more with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
Fourth quarter from Flynn Stadium at Quincy. Second and three for the Silver Streaks. Hand off to J.J. Range, trying to get to the outside. He's stacked up. The ball is ripped out of his arms. And returning downfield, Malik Bondon. Will he have a defensive touchdown? A lot of players still milling around at the line of scrimmage. And there's Rick Little out on the field screaming to the official, saying, that should be our ball. You never blew the play dead.
All the officials, though, standing with their arms straight up at the spot of contact, so I got to think this is coming back.
And now he's going to come back to the sideline as the line judge comes over, and he's going to give Coach Rick Little an explanation as the Silver Streaks may be very fortunate here to face third and one after Range had the ball taken away.
Well, they've had to face a hot Coach Tim Doherty there toward the end of the third period, too, after that no fumble call there.
So near turnovers by Quincy, and now a near turnover by the Silver Streaks. Holloway gets down low, runs hard into a man, but I think he stops short of the first down.
I do too. Boy, this is close. This is going to be really, really close.
He got down low, and he tried to dive forward to get what he needed. Had he been able to stretch the ball out in front of him, he might have gotten it. But the ball is sitting right at the 27, and he's got to get to the 27.5 if I'm looking at the stick right on the far side of the field. And they're going to go ahead and make a measurement here just to be sure. I think he's short.
You know, this brings up a really tough call. I suppose you kick it away, but...
Yeah, it's very early in the fourth quarter. We played only a minute. Trust your defense. And he's definitely short. About the length of the football. So fourth down, and...
Well, this is where you need your let's draw them offside play.
Now the Streaks are huddling up. Quincy's gotten Galesburg to come offsides three different times. Galesburg is huddling up. So let's see if they come up to the line of scrimmage. Maybe do try to draw them off. And if it doesn't work, then back up into punt formation. Quincy has an empty field downfield. Let's see where Peyton Isaacson lines up. He comes up all the way under center. Let's see if he goes with a quick snap.
Just trying to get him to jump. They're not going to buy it.
Quincy is stunting at the line of scrimmage. Now Isaacson's going to back up, looking to the sideline. Clock rolling, 10:40 to go. Now he comes back up under center, and the Streaks are going to call timeout here. Still calling the play in, and now he does call timeout. Had to think that they were getting really close to a delay of game there, so they'll call timeout to be entirely sure what they want to do here.
Well, again, it's you know, even if the ball's out at midfield, you go for it. But, boy, clear back on your own 27, it's just, I think, too big of a risk with 10:33 left. And a Quincy offense that's its own worst enemy right now.
Yeah, right. So, certainly on that last series.
Yeah, so maybe you just go ahead and kick it back to them here.
Dodgers do not score on the top of the fifth, so the Cardinals keep that 4-0 lead. Halfway through the game in Game 6 of the National League Championship Series in Busch Stadium. We'll try to get you to that game after the end of the Streaks game here at Quincy. 10:33 to go here. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout. Isaacson's a little deeper here, so it looks like they're not going to try anything fancy. Two wideouts to the near side, two wideouts to the top of the field. Tight ends packed in tight. Isaacson not in the deep snap. Now he does back up. So he flashed his arms once. There's the punt. A short one to the far side of the field. And again, as we've seen so many times on this field, when the ball hits, it just doesn't go very far. Rolls about another yard forward. Quincy takes over at the Blue Devil 49-yard line, 10:26 to go in the game.
37, so we get about 24, 25 yards out of the punt. Not great, but still enough to force him back a little bit here. And if you go for that on fourth down and don't make it on your own 27, then you... Doesn't look very good.
Nope.
A lot
right.
of second guessing then. You just had to kick that away. So let's see what the defense can do. They've been up to the task most of the night here for the Silver Streaks and looking for yet another stop.
Yadier Molina doubles to start the bottom of the fifth, his second hit of the night. Cardinals lead 4-0. End off to the left side. Not much room there. Second effort to the 50-yard line. Maybe just barely into Galesburg territory as Robbins gets a second, maybe a third, maybe even a fourth effort just to get those 2 yards on first down. At the Galesburg 49-yard line, 7-6 Quincy. Galesburg has done a tremendous job holding Malik Robbins in check up to this point. 16 carries for 58 yards. It was Bryce Unmissick who did the big damage in the first half with a 60-yard touchdown run that has the Blue Devils up by one. Hand off to the left side. This is Unmissick trying to get to the outside of the 40 and finally pushed out of bounds by Ben Holloway, but not till he gets to the 33-yard line for a gain of 16. Sorry I even mentioned his name, Jim.
Yeah, we were definitely looking inside on that when they had three men in the backfield, and he was able to break outside, get across around the edge, and make some good yardage and a Quincy first down. So they're back down close to where we were when we had that fourth down.
Eight carries for Bryce Unmissick, 114 yards, including that 60-yard touchdown run. It's only his third carry of the second half. He has been nearly unstoppable for the Silver Streaks defense tonight. Out of the power I formation. Hand off, a little toss play to Osborne. Strung out, trying to get to the outside. Avoids a tackle at the ankles. Up into first down territory on the far side of the field. I think it was Nick Myler who had a shot at him. He made the dive. Osborne sidestepped him, and he gets the first down up to the Galesburg 21-yard line for a pickup of 12 more.
Osborne, just a very good athlete, and we've seen a couple of times tonight. He's got terrific balance, able to fend off the defenders with that forearm, and still, even if he's kind of running at a slant, be able to get himself squared away again and get some yardage. So Devils trying to put up a drive that would make things very difficult for the Silver Streaks if Quincy's able to get another touchdown here. They still got a long way to go, though, the 21-yard line. The Silver Streaks defense trying to rise to the occasion again.
Matt Adams batting in the bottom of the fifth for the Cardinals after a David Freeze single. First and third, Redbirds, nobody out against Clayton Kershaw, leading 4-0, and the Silver Streaks get a defensive stop here back to the 20-yard line. Well, actually make it a gain of a yard to the 20-yard line.
On the defensive stop, Christian Powers again for the Silver Streaks. Number 44 dives in there and gets the solo tackle.
They contain Osborne that time. First time all night they've held him to something less than positive yardage. Second and 10. 9 minutes and counting in the fourth quarter. Quincy leading 7-6. Silver Streaks need a win to stay eligible for a chance to make the playoffs. They would have to win tonight and next week. Quincy looking for its sixth win of the year. Out of the wishbone. Fake handoff right. Rolling left. Down the middle of the field. Over the outstretched arms of J.J. Range. And caught by Quincy's Malik Robbins inside the 10 at the 6.
Yeah, Range went up. He was trying to get a paw on that as he was about midway between the quarterback and the receiver. And just couldn't quite get up there high enough to get it. And a first and goal now for Quincy at the Galesburg 6.
Only the second completion of the night for Cricard. First catch of the night for Malik Robbins. And first and goal at the 6 with 8:47 to go in the game. Quincy trying to go back up by a full touchdown. See how they line it up. Split backfield. Hand off. Second man through. Robbins hit. Bulls his way forward and then stopped just short of the goal line at the 1. Hard run by Malik Robbins. Pushed a couple of Silver Streak defenders forward. He picks up 5. It'll be second and goal.
Yeah, Ryan Darby slow to get up for the Silver Streaks. And yeah, now he is up.
Matt Adams with a base hit. Second and third Cardinals. They score a run and now lead 5-0.
Wow.
And it's looking more and more like the World Series is within reach for the Redbirds. Although, after Boston's big rally over Detroit with
right.
With Scherzer on the mound earlier this week. They're certainly not going to mark it down just yet. Moline twice was inside the Quincy 5-yard line last week and turned it over. This is second and goal from the 1. Quincy does not turn it over. Just right up the middle goes the quarterback, Ricard, with the keeper. And it's now 13-6 Blue Devils with 8:19 to go in the game.
And with a conversion, can make it so Galesburg, well, would still be within one score on a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
And they are lining up to go for the kick. Not worth the effort at this point to try to go for two and go up by what would be two possessions. Defense is tonight. Coach Rick Little will go for the extra point here to try to make it an 8-point lead. The left-footed kick is up and good. Quincy leads by 8, 14-6, 8:19 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster, your hands grip tighter, your heart beats harder, and time slows down. The weight of the team is on you, and you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Help celebrate WGIL's 75th anniversary. Purchase a pound of WGIL's 75th anniversary Diamond Blend Coffee at Innkeepers this month, and 10% off the proceeds will go to Fish. Details at WGIL.com.
7-play scoring drive for the Quincy Blue Devils. They had a short field. They took it 51 yards in 2 minutes and 7 seconds. The quarterback, Cricard, for his second rushing touchdown of the season. And the extra point makes it 14-6. And a line drive kick down the middle of the field bounces in the end zone, and the Streaks will have it at the 20. Again, 8:19 to go in the game, needing a touchdown.
Yeah, Moline got on the board a couple of times against Rock Island. But too little too late. They're into the fourth quarter up there. And that one's showing Rocky on top, 47-14.
Which it was continuous clock in that game the entire second half. Because they were up 47-0 at halftime. So you wonder if the starters for the Rocks even played the second half.
River Valley made Mercer County mad. The second-ranked team in the state in 2A scored three times already in the fourth quarter. And it's now 39-13.
Broke open a close game there. Was 20-13.
Yep.
Hand off to Holloway. Nope, Isaacson on the keeper. Scrambling to the near side. He slowed down, and the Quincy defense catches up to him at the 20, we'll call it the 23-yard line. Isaacson should have kept going. He might have gained a couple more yards out of that. Hobbling off the field, Malik Bondon for Quincy. For just joining us, the Cardinals have knocked out Clayton Kershaw after giving up 5 runs on 10 hits in 4 innings. Cardinals still batting after scoring a run in the bottom of the 5th. Handoff goes left. Not much running room there. They'll take it to the 25-yard line, and very quickly, after a Holloway gain of 3, the Streaks are facing 3rd and 5.
And a pretty crucial 3rd and 5 here with the clock moving 7.5 minutes left down the 8 points. Hear a lot of cowbells. They use those here at Quincy's Flynn Stadium.
7:15 and counting. Isaacson kicks Holloway into motion. Quick sideline pass to the outside. Eicher hit once. Ducks underneath. Breaks free. He's got the first down across the 30 to the 32-yard line. What an effort by Josh Eicher. After the pass completion, slowed down just enough to make the Quincy defender run past him. He absorbed not a full direct hit. That allowed him to keep his feet, and he fought forward for a huge third down conversion.
Yeah, outside of the touchdown pass to Ferguson, that's probably the biggest play of the game for the Silver Streaks to retain possession of the ball here with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
And now a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks. Up the middle goes Ben Holloway, dragging defenders, and a light flag comes in as he advances the ball to the 38-yard line for a gain of 6. And let's see if anything gets added on at the end. Or was Holloway being pushed from behind? Another hit to the head by Quincy. That's the second time they've been called for that, and it's going to add 15 more yards onto this, and the Streaks are going to move into Quincy territory.
Well, a big 15-yard penalty certainly aided us in our last march down the field. In fact, I believe it also took us across midfield at that time, and this one is going to do the same, only we're going the other direction. They'll mark it at the Quincy 46, 1st and 10, Silver Streaks.
Fourth Quincy penalty of the night. They had only one in the first half, but their penalties in the second half have been a holding penalty, which negated a big first down run, and now their second personal foul penalty, and they'll have it, as Jim said, at the Quincy 46-yard line. Holloway up the middle, not a whole lot there. He picks up a few on first down. Looks like he gets down to about the 43-yard line, again, a 4. And still rolling under 6:40 to go in the fourth quarter. Galesburg trailing by 8.
We played 2 overtimes with these guys last year. Why not a few more this year, huh?
I like what you're thinking, Jim. Out of the eye. Left side range with a changeup. Bounces to the outside. Tackled from behind in first down territory at the 32-yard line for a gain of 11 more.
And the emergence of J.J. Range, again, can't be overstated to help balance out this offense. And Range obviously getting the confidence of his coaching staff as well as his number being called more and more. Plus, it takes a little bit of punishment away from Ben Holloway. Now we've got a whistle. We're going to have a 5-yard penalty on the streak. Somebody went way early off the right side of that line.
Cardinals now lead 6-0. Somehow Michael Waka got a run in. And the bases are still loaded in the bottom of the 5th. Now a false start against the Silver Streaks. So if they're not getting called for offsides, They're getting called for a false start. Sixth time tonight for five-yard penalties for the Silver Streaks. First and 15 now. Back at the Quincy 37-yard line. Galesburg trying to finish above 500 in the final year of the Western Big Six. Quincy trying to do the same. Out of the eye. Range up the middle. Flag down. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage. This time it may be a hold on Galesburg. And there's the signal. So they'll back it up 10 yards. We are 2 seconds short of the midpoint of the fourth quarter. And the Silver Streaks 5-yard run by J.J. Range just got called back for a holding penalty. So a 5-yard false start, now a 10-yard holding penalty. And the Streaks are going backwards.
That hurts.
Bad time.
The 5-yarder you can deal with. That 10-yarder is a killer.
So now the ball is going to be spotted all the way back close to midfield, back to the 46-yard line of Quincy. First and 24 now for the Silver Streaks. They have to get down to the Quincy 22-yard line to pick up a first down here. But it is just first down. 8 yards at a time, right? Range gets nothing. Maybe one to the 45. He ran into the wall, kept the legs moving, and was able to get a yard out of it.
Yeah, well, and now you're probably looking at a couple of passing downs here. Maybe if you ran a lot of times a draw play works in this situation when you got the defense thinking second. Run.
Second and 23 now. Jake Ferguson with a touchdown catch earlier. Joins Range as wide receivers to the right side. Two to the left side are Eicher and Ben Holloway with Isaacson alone in the backfield. The rush is on. He gets the pass away quickly and underthrown as he had to get that throw off quickly. Backpedaling. Josh Eicher couldn't catch up to it. Blasting right up the middle was Nick Logan. And it was a good job by Isaacson to get rid of that ball as quickly as he did. Now it's third and 23 from the Quincy 45-yard line. Streaks again, two wideouts to the near side. This time it's Moss and Ferguson. Now Holloway lines up in the slot. Range just to the right of Isaacson in the backfield. Josh Eicher at the top of the field. Isaacson rolling right, hesitates. Now running toward the sideline. Gets the pass away, and it's caught by Moss. At the 35-yard line, stays in bounds right in front of the Quincy sideline. The Silver Streaks now face fourth and 12 with under 5 minutes to go in the game, and the clock continues to roll.
Well, in that situation, you can take what the defense gives you, and they gave us about half of the yardage, so go ahead and take that. It makes the fourth down play a little more reasonable prospect rather than having to just heave it down the field. You're looking at fourth and 12 here.
Let's see what the Silver Streaks do. Do they want to try a short punt and try to pin Quincy deep? Use some timeouts and try to get the ball back with a couple of minutes remaining if they can get three quick stops? Or will they elect to go for it, trailing by 8 with under 4.5 minutes to go in the game? Isaacson to pass. Left side. Caught at the 22-yard line. It's right at the first down marker. And Eicher comes up with the reception. And this is going to be close.
And the markers are clear on the other side of the field. And so this one's really hard to gauge. Excellent play by the Silver Streaks.
They're talking it over. Three officials now, four officials down there. They'll put the ball down on the marker. The officials trying to get Galesburg out of the way, and they want to look in the, all the way across the field to try to eyeball where the first down marker is.
And
the referee
close,
looking.
You can't eyeball this clear across the field. They'll have to bring the
first down. He gave it to him. No measurement. He just signaled first down, and the Silver Streaks hopes are alive with 4:20 to go. And he did that right in front of the Quincy coaching staff. That's bold.
Yeah, you wonder if he wasn't kind of egged on to that. He made that pretty emphatically, too.
So a huge fourth down conversion. They had a big third down conversion earlier. And the Isaacson to Eicher connection is clear. And 11. Snap through Isaacson's shoulders, and he scrambles back for it at the 28-yard line. So they lose six, but they keep possession.
Well, win or lose, it's been a game effort tonight here by the Silver Streaks, who've stuck with it for four full quarters, giving it all they got, but it seems like every time we just get close to doing something good, we make a mistake and make it that much harder on ourselves.
Loss of 16.
Loss of six.
I'm sorry, yeah. Six. Makes it second and 16. Hand off to the left side. Holloway doesn't get quite... drive started back at the Galesburg 20-yard line. With 8:19 to go in the game, we're now under 3.5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Silver Streaks have had two enormous conversions, one on third down, one on fourth down. Waiting patiently, found a hole to the right side of the 15, to the 10, cuts back to the 5, and tackled right at the goal line. It's going to be first and goal at the Quincy 1.
What a gritty run, as we've come to expect from Ben Holloway, who nearly got it all the way in. He was bouncing off of linebackers and everybody else, just barreling towards the goal line. Finally got stopped, but the Streaks in business with 3:08 to go before the end of this fourth quarter, knocking on the door of a potential, well, tying touchdown if we can get this touchdown and a two-point conversion.
3:07 to go in the game. Remember, Moline fumbled twice, once from the one-yard line last week in a loss to Quincy, and the Blue Devils returned that downfield for a touchdown. They fumbled one other time from inside the 5. Streaks have to finish here. Hand off right, touchdown! Range got across the right side of the goal line on the quick handoff. Isaacson turned and made the quick connection to Range. He crosses the goal line before he was hit, and now the Streaks need a two-point conversion to tie the game.
Yeah, Range got hit pretty hard, a little shaken up there, but he's coming back into the huddle as the Streaks will see what they can do now as they try for this two-point conversion down 14-12.
They covered 80 yards in just over 5 minutes. They take 5 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock and now trail 14-12. The Streaks have not attempted many two-point conversions this season. Range lines up to the right of Isaacson. Peyton rolls right, looking. The connection to, Holloway, and it went through his hands as Holloway reached up for it. Looked like he got turned around a little bit as he was backpedaling, trying to catch that one, and it falls incomplete. Streaks trail by 2, now need a big defensive stop with 2:51 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Streaks trail by 2, 2:51 to go in the game here at Quincy. An 80-yard scoring drive. Streaks took 5 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock in 14 plays. Along the way, they had a false start penalty and a holding penalty. The Streaks faced 3rd and 11. They faced 4th and 11. They converted both of those. Holloway with a 22-yard run to set up the scoring play from the 1. And then they can't get the 2-point conversion, trailing by 2, 14-12. But still, they're in the game with 2:51 to go here at Quincy. And the Streaks are lining up to go with the onside kick. Meanwhile, Matt Carpenter drives in a run. Carlos Beltran drives in another run. After 5 innings in St. Louis, the Redbirds now lead 9-0. And we're going to get you to that game after the Streaks game here. Here comes the onside kick by the Silver Streaks. Rolling end over end to the far side. Takes a bounce, a scramble for it. Inside the 45-yard line of Quincy. Galesburg is celebrating. There's still a scramble for it. The officials blow the whistle. And the Streaks have it. The Streaks have it at the 43.
Really a well-executed kick. So many times you see everybody get up front there and the ball doesn't go 10 yards. That one was hit just right. It took the right bounce at the 10-yard mark, stayed low, so nobody from Quincy could really get onto it, and the Silver Streaks just penetrated that wedge, drove a bunch of white jerseys in there, fell on it, and now have themselves in business with 2:47 to go, still down 2, but at least with a chance with the football at the Quincy 44-yard line.
Tremendous momentum by the Silver Streaks after putting together that 14-play scoring drive with big plays to keep the drive alive. Isaacson with a handoff to Holloway. A patient run gets to the 40-yard line. He picks up four on first down. Holloway was very closely watching for the hole, waiting for something to open up. Not a big gain on first down, but enough to move forward for four as the clock rolls under 2.5 minutes to go in the game. Again, despite all these great things for the Silver Streaks here late in the game, they still trail by two. They need a score to keep the playoff hopes alive. Three wideouts to the near side. Holloway, the single setback behind Isaacson. Ben gets the handoff again with a hole across the left side. Tripped up at the 35-yard line. Close to a first down. And they're going to give it to him at about the 32.
Well, if there's any noise at Flynn Stadium, it's all coming from the far side and the few Galesburg fans that are here. And, of course, the team is stoked. This Quincy sideline is just stunned. I think they're just holding their breath, hoping that their team doesn't get upset at this point. They can't believe what they're seeing.
Actually spot the ball at the 33-yard line with 2:05 and counting here in the fourth quarter. The snap to Isaacson, the handoff to Holloway, cuts back across the middle, drags a defender forward down to the 26-yard line for a gain of seven more.
Well, it just almost seems like we've worn down the Quincy front because the Streaks having their way up there, getting pretty good yardage on every carry.
154 yards rushing for Ben Holloway on 30 carries. And that one goes for very little, and the Streaks are going to face third down here and maybe four. Are they going to back it up a yard? Running third streak in this fourth quarter. They need another one here. After no gain by Holloway, he lines up behind Isaacson from the Quincy 26-yard line. Isaacson takes the snap. Now back to pass after the fake. Looking to the far corner in double coverage. It's deflected and just over the outstretched arms of Eicher, who almost had another touchdown for the Silver Streaks on a deflection.
Well, two Quincy players came over there in front of Eicher and batted the ball. And it, it could have almost gone up in the air and then ended up right back to Eicher. That would have been something else, but the ball did fall off to the side. So now here we are on our last gasp again here on fourth down and four, trailing by two.
1:10 to go in the game. The Silver Streaks just need a first down to keep it alive. Fourth and three from the Blue Devil 26-yard line out of the I formation and a timeout called by Quincy.
Alan, you wonder, does that do us a favor, giving us a little more time to decide what we want to do? And it is a tough call, but it's also tough for the defense. They don't know exactly what to look for. Do you throw a little short pass coming with maybe range out of the backfield? We've also thrown the ball to Holloway a few times, but
not tonight, though.
Right, not tonight. We haven't shown that hand tonight. Eicher's been a force. You know, he's had some big, big catches, and he's got the size if he gets one-on-one to get out there and make a catch for you. So we'll have to see. I'm glad I'm not the one having to make this big call for the Silver Streaks.
On either side of the ball, for that matter.
You know, not only the game, but kind of the season potentially on the line here is we have... I think shocked the world and just staying in this with Quincy. And, you know, you get this close, you want to win it.
That's right.
You got the opportunity. You hate to say, well, we played them tough. That's nice, but you work this hard. You spent the whole week in practice. You've game planned, and you've done so many things well here tonight. You'd love to go ahead and take away the W, but you got to make something happen here on fourth and four.
Hayden Isaacson against that good Quincy pass defense, 4 for 13 with two interceptions, 63 yards passing. Now let's see what they pull out of the bag with fourth and three here from the Quincy 26-yard line. 1:10 to go in the game, down two. Alone in the backfield is Isaacson. Now under center, takes the snap, range, pressure in the backfield, and a loss at the 30-yard line.
Just absolutely smothered. Range had no chance for the minute he got that football to go anywhere as the Silver Streaks elect to go with the straight inside handoff. ...04 left to go.
And all they will have to do is take a knee a couple of times, and the Silver Streaks will come away heartbroken to come so close. So close, everything going their way in the fourth quarter. Huge plays made by the offense in desperate times, third and long, fourth and long. Had to get an onside kick in order to get the ball back. They did. It worked. And yet only to give it up on downs down by two with a minute four to go in the game. And Quincy, again, will just have to take a knee. They will line up, huddled in tight. They go with the I formation, and they are going to go with a handoff and a run and a big hit on Robbins. He's still on his feet, backpedaling up to the 45-yard line, and he comes away juking and celebrating after a big run by Malik Robbins. Are you surprised that they actually risked a handoff there, Jim?
Yeah, yes and no. Maybe on the first play to try and, I think, number one, catch Gelsberg a little bit off guard, and number two, get one more first down. This way, even if we burn a timeout or two, all they have to do now definitely is just take the knee. So I think they'd be crazy to do another handoff here, and it looks like they're going to take their own sweet time yep. coming up to the line.
So yeah, it takes it up near midfield.
Would have been the upset of the season in the conference if we had come down here and got the job done, and we came close, but not going to quite get it. Is Quincy going to use a timeout now just before they get called for delay of game?
Gelsberg looking for its first back-to-back playoff appearances in school history, and they'll be, one could argue, an extra point short.
Yeah,
they do not convert the extra point kick in the third quarter. When they get it to within 7-6, that forced him to go for a much lower percentage two-point conversion in the fourth quarter.
Yep, because it'll be interesting when you total things up. I've got to think the yardage is going to be pretty close here tonight.
Yeah.
It's not like Quincy ran over us here at all. We took advantage of a couple of turnovers, but we had a couple of our own interceptions, and so it's been a very, very even ball game. And just as you said, just really basically special teams extra point problems, the only reason that we're not in an overtime right now.
And they take the snap and the knee. And now the players start to shake hands at midfield. But then the officials blowing the whistle, stopping the clock, because Galesburg's called a timeout with 22 seconds to go. So now the players have to stop shaking hands.
And hit each other once more. Well, you're out there. Hold that thought, buddy. I'll be your friend again in 22 seconds.
Well, this is one of those, you look at it, just a great high school football game tonight.
It really was. Obviously, Coach Doherty had this team well prepared for this game tonight, had scouted Quincy very well, and took away most of what the Blue Devils like to do. This is a team that scores a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't tonight here on their home field.
Well, you remember after Galesburg punted the ball away early in the fourth quarter, Quincy took over at its own 49-yard line with 10.5 minutes to go, and they just marched it right downfield. Seven plays, 51 yards. They just took it right to the Silver Streaks, took the 14-6 lead. And then Galesburg took over down by eight with 8:19 to go in the game. And they hung in there, and they battled back, and they took it downfield, made big plays, got an onside kick after scoring the touchdown. But now after one more knee, that makes it official. And the Quincy Blue Devils improved to 6-2 with a 14-12 win over the Silver Streaks. And the Streaks are now out of playoff possibilities as they drop to 3-5 with the final game of the season next week at Peoria Central. We'll take a timeout. The post-game show from Flynn Stadium at Quincy is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You know what? I had a variety of jobs before. I'm an outside person. It was really hard for me to work inside and then look out the window and wonder what it was doing. If it was cold out there, I wanted to know. I've got a degree in biology from Knox. That was my passion.
If you appreciate working with someone who truly enjoys what they do, you're going to love Don Owen of Owen Landscaping.
The thing about my landscaping company is we've chosen to stay small. I'm not one that wants to see his name on 40 trucks. So we can't send 15 guys out every day. We send 4 guys out every day that do excellent work.
You may not realize it, but you've seen Don's masterpieces all over town. And if you want your yard to be one of them, now
Now is the best time to give them a call.
Best thing, I think, would be to call me late fall or in the wintertime. I'll come over and take a look at it and give you a print and get you on the schedule. And I think we're worth waiting for.
To get Don in your yard, visit galesburg.info, keyword landscape.
It's time for your annual checkup, but you don't need a hospital gown for this one. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, suggests you complete an insurance checkup once a year. Life changes quickly. A checkup will ensure that your policies still provide the right amount of coverage for you and your family. You might even be able to lower your premiums with an auto or home policy from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For an insurance checkup, contact me, Mark Craddy, or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy with a low of 38 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny and breezy with highs of 55. Wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, lows of 38. Sunday, partly sunny and warm with highs of 66. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Sunday night, cloudy with a chance of showers, lows of 42. And Monday, partly sunny and cooler throughout the day, highs of 55, lows of 32. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 43 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Tough loss for the Silver Streaks tonight, 14-12. Galesburg falls tonight by just two at Quincy. Streaks now 3-5 on the season. Quincy is in the playoffs at 6-2, and Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty on the field.
All right, down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty. Well, first of all, congratulations on a great effort. Obviously, a great game plan. This was a heck of an effort by these kids out here tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm real proud of our kids. Quincy's one heck of a ball club, and our kids came with the fight tonight, and I'm real proud of them. You know, it's a great game.
Defensively, after watching Rock Island roll up so many yards last week, the question was, can we come down here and slow down a Quincy team with a lot of weapons? Well, for the most part, with the exception of, well, really one big play, their first touchdown, you did it tonight.
Exactly. You know, and again, proud of our defensive guys. You know, they could have quit after last week, and I think Quincy's just as talented as Rock Island, so I'm real proud of our defense. And, you know, offensively, I thought we moved the ball. We just, came up a little short, you know, against a good ball club.
First touchdown, you got the reception down there from Miller. It was it was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was good execution by the kids, and I think Ferguson, went up for it and competed.
Of course, you didn't look good, but you ended up having to punt it from down here in your own 27. You had a fourth and really inches, and I'm sure it was tempting to go for it, but at that point, you look at the clock, you kick it away, your defense does the job again, and then you go down the field for the second touchdown, and that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, kids were playing hard. I didn't want to, emotionally it's easy to go for it, but I think the right thing was to kick it away because we were playing good defense, so. You know, in the game played out as well as we could have thought.
Yeah, the game had some frustrations, a couple of 5-yard penalties that at the wrong time that were costly, but still, you seemed like every time adversity came up, you guys just found a way to buck up and continue down the field.
We did, you know, and then, you know, we had a couple of penalties early, but again, credit to the kids. They did not buckle, and they came back and kept fighting. So I'm just real, real proud of our kids.
Difficult, obviously, to lose by two when you matched them in two touchdowns. You just missed the snap and the hold, I guess, on that first extra point. Forced you to go for the two down here, and that ball looked like it just went through our hands.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we're just, you know, we're so, I mean, we're replacing guys. Gage came out. He's a two-way player. Hawk had to go to guard. Tank came in. at McCreary came in at center. He's been out for 3 weeks. Darby left the game. I mean, it's dark. The naked eye doesn't realize how hard we had to battle, you know, with getting the kids to where they were in a great finish, but we came up on the short end.
Onside kick was a thing of beauty. Do you work on that a lot, or how'd that come about?
We do. We work on it, you know, not every day, but weekly. It's just, I think we got a little turf bounce on that, and that helps. But, you know, again, credit the kids executing it at the right time.
All right. Again, a great effort tonight. I know you still want.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty joining us here in the postgame. We'll take a timeout. Streaks fall 14-12. More postgame coverage from Flynn Stadium at Quincy coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Galesburg Transit wants your used motor oil. After you change the oil in your vehicle, bring that used oil to the bus garage. They'll gladly take it. And just why do they want your used motor oil? Well, they'll save it to heat the bus garage, of course. So you can save time and money by changing your own oil, and now you can recycle that used oil. Double thumbs up. Just stop by the bus garage at 567 South Farnham Street during normal business hours.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Glenn Beck, weekday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Is the final as Galesburg falls at Quincy. Streaks now 3-5 on the season. The Quincy Blue Devils are officially in the playoffs at 6-2. Jim said the statistical numbers should look pretty even by the time it's all said and done, and they do. Quincy, 37 rushes for 287 yards tonight. Galesburg, 48 times on the ground for 234. But Galesburg, 63 yards through the air, gives them 297 yards in total offense. The Blue Devils, with 21 through the air, gives them 308 yards in total offense. So 11 yards difference by the time we add up all of the numbers. Leading the way for Quincy on the ground, Bryce Unmissig. 8 carries for 114 yards and a 60-yard touchdown run. Malik Robbins, 17 carries for 75 yards. Jordan Osborne, 10 carries for 98 yards. And the quarterback, George Cricard, the fourth, 2 carries for 3 yards, including a 1-yard touchdown quarterback sneak. Cricard was 2 for 4 passing with 21 yards, 6 to Unmissig, 15 to Malik Robbins. The Blue Devils were penalized 4 times for 45 yards. Silver Streaks led on the ground, as has become the case throughout most of the season. Ben Holloway tonight with 31 carries for 154 yards. J.J. Range had 12 carries for 80, including a touchdown run. Peyton Isaacson, 5 carries for no yards. He did lose 6 on his final play as he had to scramble for a snap that went a little bit over his shoulders. Isaacson did finish the night 4 for 13 passing with 2 interceptions and 63 yards through the air. Interceptions for 32 yards. Streaks were penalized 7 times for 40 yards tonight. Galesburg sophomores lost. Heartbreaker 14-12. It officially knocks them out of the playoff. Take a final timeout. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Get your car fixed at Dave's Auto Body, and you could earn detail for life.
Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's.
Hotel Blackhawk in Davenport is now part of the Autograph Collection, a portfolio of world-class independent boutique and luxury hotels. At an Autograph Collection hotel, you'll get full membership and redemption benefits through Marriott Rewards, the award-winning hotel loyalty program. From its hip and historic restoration to the spirit of a spa that evokes a bit of Hollywood glam, you'll want to make plans for a weekend stay to experience this and much more that makes Hotel Blackhawk an Autograph Collection hotel. Visit HotelBlackhawk.com to get a glimpse of the adventure that awaits you.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
14-12 the final. The Quincy Blue Devils hang on and defeat the Silver Streaks by 2. Galesburg drops to 3-5, and they finish their final year in the Western Big Six at 2-3. The Blue Devils will be over 500. They'll be officially in third place behind Rock Island and Alleman. Our final order of business today is Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and then we want to get you to Redbirds Baseball as the celebration continues in St. Louis. Seventh inning now, and the Redbirds lead the Dodgers 9-0. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, and you know, that's, I mean, it's great to be at baseball when you get a walk-off home run or something. That's awesome. But it's also pretty fun when your team is almost guaranteed to win. And the last few
at
innings,
home.
Oh, it's just a party the last few innings, especially when you're going to the World Series with the win. Wow.
Yeah.
What a celebration in St. Louis. And, yeah, we'll get you there. Here tonight, yeah, Quincy qualifies for the playoffs. They've still never won a playoff game. Some fans were talking about that in the bleachers below here, and they're going to have to play a whole lot better than what they did tonight if they're going to have a chance at winning a playoff game this year too, because the Streaks gave them all they could handle here
sure
tonight.
Did.
And except for some extra point difficulties, we're right there and we're in overtime. So a lot of opportunities for the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Certainly you got to think about Jake Ferguson with the first touchdown, the catch that got the Streaks on the board. Of course, Peyton Isaacson on the other end of that threw it. Holloway, another great game. J.J. Range coming into his own. Of course, all the linemen up front that did such a good job making holes for these guys to get some rushing yardage tonight. Just a terrific effort. We're going to give it to the guy.
And one other person who we don't know who it was because it was way over there on the other side of the field.
That recovered the onside
whoever
kick.
Whoever recovered the onside kick, it was such a scramble for it there.
Yep, so I'll tell you what, the one we haven't mentioned that we're going to go with, though, tonight is sophomore Josh Eicher. The wide receiver had a couple of big catches. We're in that hole where we were, first and 26 there on that last scoring drive and had to peck away, and he came up with two big catches for us, one of them just enough for that first down that kept that drive alive.
And one on third down. It was third and 23.
And one on fourth.
And he got 11. And then on fourth and 12, he got 12.
Yep. So he knew where he was on the field, made the tough catches, and got out of bounds. And so Josh Eicher, his first Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game Award. Hopefully he's got some more in him in the next 2 years as he continues to be a Silver Streak.
But a tough loss, bottom line, 14-12. Galesburg 3-5 on the season. Sophomores in St. Louis. Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, for Jim Lee back with us this week. Again, we're at Peoria next week to wrap up the regular season against the Lions of Peoria High School. 14-12 the final. The Streaks fall tonight. Good night from Quincy. Now let's get you to St. Louis, where the Dodgers are batting in the seventh inning. The Cardinals leading 9-0, and Michael Wacha still in the game pitching a two-hitter, and the Redbirds just seven outs away from the World Series. Let's get you to St. Louis now.